Opportunity for progress.
CNN's Elise Labbitt tells us the U.S. sees the military regime there making progress on human rights.
There has been some progress, but U.S. officials say much more needs to be done. And basically, it's very significant that the U.S. is opening up to the regime in Myanmar to try and continue to encourage further reforms.
Hundreds of people were arrested in New York as Occupy Wall Street protesters gathered in force to observe the two-month mark for their movement. CNN's Steve Gastenbaum reports thousands of protesters demonstrated last night in Manhattan.
This was planned weeks before the evictions started at the various Occupy encampments around the country. But the organizers of the Occupy Wall Street movement say that this is evidence of the fact that those evictions actually helped to reinvigorate and galvanize this movement. They say they're more focused now and they're not going away.
Syracuse University's placed associate men's basketball coach Bernie Fine on administrative leave. ESPN reports two men accused the coach of inappropriate touching when they were ball boys in the 1980s and 90s. ESPN asked one of the men, Bobby Davis, when the abuse first started.
Sixth grade, 11, 10 years old, and he started trying to touch me and things like that.
Congress has passed a temporary spending measure to keep the federal government open for business until December 16th. The action was necessary because the federal government's set to run out of money by midnight tonight. The Los Angeles County Sheriff's Office is reopening its investigation into the death of movie star Natalie Wood. She drowned in 1981 while boating off the California coast. At the time, the coroner ruled it an accidental death, but some people said the ruling made no sense. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
The Home Depot's made a special buy on Home Accents Holiday 300-count icicle lights, now just $7.48 a box. You save $2 on every box, so you can stretch more of those lights along your roof lines and more of your budget throughout the season. Make the holidays even brighter with 300-count icicle lights, just $7.48. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
What do we do before social media? Smoke signals? I mean, everybody's using it. Wouldn't it be great if you, small business owner, could get your best customers to share your message with all their friends? Now you can, with email marketing from Constant Contact. That's right, email. You send a Constant Contact email to your customers. It has a share button that lets them, well, share your message on social media. And suddenly, OMG, their friends become your next customers. This so beats smoke signals. Go to ConstantContact.com and sign up for a free 60-day trial today.
Already the biggest player in mobile device operating systems and software, Google is about to become a major mobile device maker. Shareholders of Motorola Mobility have approved the proposed takeover by Google overwhelmingly, as in 99% approval. $12.5 billion acquisition, by far Google's biggest purchase to date. Deal expected to close early next year. This morning we gaze into the closest thing we have to an economic crystal ball. Conference Board's Index of Leading Indicators will be released a half hour after Wall Street's opening bell. Economists predict a sharp increase, as much as a full percent, in the reading which attempts to forecast economic direction 3 to 6 months ahead. Europe's debt crisis once again is dominating global stock markets. Asian indexes lost more than a percent each. European shares, harder hit in recent days, are down more modestly now. U.S. investors appear uncertain about whether to follow the herd. S&P futures gaining 4, NASDAQ futures up 3. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Blurriness, wavy lines, blind spot, these are all symptoms of a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, also known as wet AMD. It can develop quickly and it's a leading cause of blindness in people 60 and older. Learn about your risk factors and find out how a retina specialist can help. Just visit amdawareness.org. And if you aren't seeing clearly, get checked now. Knowing the symptoms may save your sight. Learn more at amdawareness.org today. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
I've been riding since I was 17. Flat out my whole life. Had some medical issues. Then I was prescribed one drug one place, another somewhere else. United Healthcare saw I could be in real trouble if I'd have taken both drugs together. They spotted the danger and United Healthcare warned my pharmacist in time. We only get one shot, and I want to leave this life exhausted.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
The Home Depot's made a special buy on Home Accents Holiday 300-count icicle lights, now just $7.48 a box. You save $2 on every box, so you can stretch more of those lights along your roof lines and more of your budget throughout the season.
Make the holidays even brighter with 300 count icicle lights, just $7.48. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
Glazed ham, cheesecake. The holidays are so close, I can almost taste them.
You can at the Holiday Taste of Sam's Club event. Sample delicious entrees, desserts, and more. And everyone's invited.
It's the perfect time to taste and join.
Sign up at the event and get a $10 gift card, plus a $20 gift certificate good the day after Thanksgiving, November 25th.
I'm there.
Don't miss the samples and savings at the Holiday Taste of Sam's Club, November 18th through the 20th, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Sam's Club, savings made simple. $20 gift certificate good with $50 per...
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
It's the same each time with Progress. First they ignore you. Then they say you're mad. Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And good morning. Welcome indeed. It's a pleasure to be with you on this early Friday morning. 26 blazing degrees outside today. Yowza, yowza. It was my reminder. I need to go get a car starter this weekend, at least the next week for at the very latest. Honestly, when you, as all of us do, you got to make that transition from the warmth of your home to the cold of your car. Well, that car warmer becomes a necessity. And we hope you're all well. We've got a lot to get to today. Certainly, we're going to focus a little bit more on Mayor Dave Bing's proposal to save the city, which, of course, has fallen quite short. We'll spend a little time on that quite a bit of time on that this morning. As we take a look at what's going to come down, you know, in just a little while, we're going to talk about the online campaign to ask Target to chill, Target stores, that is, forcing people to come into work early on Thanksgiving Day, ruining the holiday for many. I got to tell you, I hearken back to the days of old where I remember clearly Thanksgiving and Christmas Day, you weren't going anywhere. You weren't going anywhere because nothing was open, including gas stations. That is, we are so far removed from that. Anyway, we'll get to that in just a little bit. Ryan Bates for the Citizens for Immigration Rights will be with us as well in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll also be visiting with Tom Barrow, former mayoral candidate, and now with the Citizens for Detroit's Future. We'll ring in on Mayor Dave Bing and his plan to move the city forward or not. Of course, Occupy Detroit at 7:50, and Joe DeSano will round out our Friday show, and we always look forward to having Joe on the program. So why don't we just go ahead and get this puppy going?
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Our first word today is going to be reminiscent of something I'll end my day with, which is remembrance. Today I will attend the National Day of Remembrance in Detroit. As I've been talking about for some weeks now, I've been asked to attend and to speak, although I think my attendance is more important than what I have to say this evening. Remembrance, I think it's important, folks, that no matter what the issue is. There's that old saying that, you know, we learn from our past. To ignore our past means to ignore our future. That means remembrance becomes a critical tool as we move forward, as we try to gather those things. Those tidbits of knowledge that help us make decisions that advance us. And so no matter what age you are, no matter what your political leanings might be, remembrance is something that is used, obviously, in a subconscious way. We use our memory for so many things. But today, I'll make it a little more specific as we honor those who have fallen in the transgendered community. Today's first word is remembrance, and that's how we begin this First Shift Friday program. Of course, what we do next is something we do every day as well, a tradition, which is, of course, welcoming our producer, Jeff Radford, to this Friday show. Good morning, Jeffrey.
Good morning. Is it a booyah day? Yeah,
I don't know.
It could be a booyah.
Can you
day.
Feel it out? I can't get a finger on if it's.
I'm kind of a little ambivalent about it. To be honest with you, I don't mean that in a negative way. It's just there's a lot going on, not a lot going on. You know, we're looking for progress. We're not getting a lot of progress. It's that time of year now where things really start to slow down with the holidays, and then people start getting that time off. As we will be taking, by the way, the Thanksgiving holiday off, the Thursday, Friday next week, we'll be running some of our favorite past shows. But, I think things slow down a little bit this time of year. We got to make sure, Jeff, that we don't take our eye off the ball. Certainly what's happening in the city of Detroit, because it matters so much to the region and the state, is something that we're going to continue to follow. But, yeah, it's just a little weird this time of year.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, the Red Wings lost last night. Mike Babcock, actually, his quote in the paper this morning was, this team needs to decide whether or not they want to be good. That was his quote, period.
Well, it does seem like consistency is their biggest problem right now.
Well, what did I say just the other day after they'd won three? I said, that's great. Now don't turn around and, right. And sure enough, what did they do? They turned around and lost a couple in a row, so... not a good showing last night, and Jimmy Howard is a talented goalie, but when you give up five goals, Jeff, it's hard to win.
Yeah, that's the truth. And the worst part is, to do it against the Sharks is just it's a killer.
Yeah, it is a killer. And then so that's that. Anthony this morning, the first words he says to me as we're getting ready to leave the house are, "Dad, Tim Tebow won not the Broncos. Tebow won last night." In the last minute of the game. I said, no way. He goes, yeah. And I said, okay, how many, what were his throwing stats? Oh, it's something like 8-for-22 for like 100 yards. What is it with this guy, Jeff? Maybe there is something to be said for all this God stuff, huh?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know about that part of it, but I the guy won in college. He is a winner. He might not get it done conventionally, but I'm going to count myself. And again, maybe I really get into some of these the polarizing discussions where people are against Brandon Inge, and I find myself on the defense of Brandon Inge, or I used to anyway. I've since lessened my position as he gets older, and rightfully so. Anyway, about Tim Tebow, I find myself laughing or amused by the people who just absolutely hate him and think he's not going to be good at all. And it's like he's still you might see aspects or mechanics or of his throwing motion, and I don't know how many people are experts at finding that or not, but he still plays football. He's a football player, and I sound like John Madden, but he's a winner. He's done it before.
Well, you're right. He has. We have to remember that, and of course, there is a big difference in talent between college and the pros. I mean, a radical difference, but still, he won, and, it's not like he was playing all schlub teams. He legitimately is a winner. It just it confounds me that he continues to just defy all logic. He does not. You're right. He is as unconventional as a quarterback in the NFL would be. In fact, I don't even know who you might compare him to. He has no skill set as a thrower, as a passer. He has none, zero. He has no skill set.
Well, yet, you don't think he can develop into...
Well, I'm not saying that. Of course he can.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I know that lately people have seen rookies come into the league, and Cam Newton perhaps, and maybe even Andy Dalton to a certain extent, have come in and had success. And so people expect big things from rookies right away. But, there used to be a time where rookies had to, get acclimated to playing in the NFL.
And Aaron Rodgers would be a great example of that.
Yeah, that's a good one. He didn't get thrown into the fire like Tebow is getting thrown into the fire so quickly. And actually, you can make a case for that being, good for him. And Alex Smith may be the opposite. They both got taken in the same draft. And, maybe Alex Smith could have used that time that Aaron Rodgers had to sit back. So, Tebow, the same thing. Could have used some time to maybe sit back and get acclimated first. But.
Fair enough. I'll go with that. And then, of course, yesterday afternoon, as soon as I heard it, I sent you an email. The Detroit Tigers have re-signed, unofficially re-signed, Gerald Laird as their backup catcher. I was so happy to see Gerald Laird leave this ball club. But he's back.
It's funny.
I know you and Anthony this morning both said, you know what, doesn't really matter. Right. He's a good backup catcher. And you know what? As a backup catcher, I'm fine. If they had said, hey, he's coming in to take over Alex Avila's spot, which wouldn't have happened, of course, you know, then that would have been a different story. As a backup, I guess I'm fine with it because we're not bringing him back for his bat anyway, which is obvious because the guy can't hit.
Well, and that's you remember when he was here, he was the starter and Avila was the backup.
Right.
And so that's how you kind of, if you remember him as that, then you're like, oh, he's back. Great. Can't wait to, you know, to have the same thing. And it's like, no, this time, and I think you even mentioned that you heard on the news 40 games, and I think 40 is kind of a high number, but maybe 40 appearances because he'll come in as a defensive replacement late to kind of spell if they're blowing somebody out and they want to rest Avila, then he'll make an appearance. But I don't expect him to play more than once a week. And I think that's great because Avila showed, you know, during a stretch where he was playing every day that he gets better. You know, he didn't need rest, but then he wore down towards the end. So, you know, you play him for 6 or 7 games. Then you take him out, you know, then Laird starts.
Have we heard anything in the off season about Avila's knees? There, you know, I know that there was some question as to whether or not he might need surgery. Or do you think it ended up being it's time to rest him and see what happens?
That's the last thing I heard is...
You know, we've got him back. Well, we will officially have him back as soon as he passes that infamous physical that we learned with the Detroit Lions. That physical's important, Jeff. I will never look at that... That physical when you go to sign a contract the same way again.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, that I used to think that it's just a... and by the way, Anthony, that was kind of creepy. Got to admit, Jeff, it was. It really was kind of creepy. You know, just you take that physical for granted. You know, it's just, okay, it's just what you got to do to get through, you know, just to go through it. But, you know, that physical obviously is important.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Anyway, let's take a break here. When we come back, we'll take a look at the weekend football games, see if I can get... I'm going to get Jeff to pick first because he always plays Switzerland when we...
Oh, come on.
Oh,
now.
You do too.
I've already
what
got my
What did Anthony
picks.
Say? Oh, do you really?
I think so.
All right. If you already got your picks, that's good. A quick break here. We're running against the clock. So this is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
My name is Steven Henderson. I'm the editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press, and I want to wish everybody who listens to First Shift a very happy holiday.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our Ford Driving Skills for Life traffic report includes the fact that we're moving along pretty well. Right now, 275. Not seeing the big delays yet, but as you head in toward 96 and M14, you're getting a little more company. Heading west on 14 out toward the interchanges with US 23. Looks like so far that's moving along pretty well.
Wintertime driving can be hazardous, especially for newly licensed teen drivers. Visit Ford Driving Skills for Life's award-winning website at drivingskillsforlife.com for great safe driving tips.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We are going to see sunny skies today. Our high, only 46. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 35. Tomorrow, partly sunny and a high near 51. Right now, 24 degrees, fair skies at Metro Airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Exclusively at the Home Depot, save time and money with Behr Premium Plus Ultra Paint. It's an affordable paint and primer in one, and rated number one by a leading consumer study. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
At JCPenney, you don't have to wait for Black Friday. Save this Friday and Saturday with JCP Cash. Get $10, $15, or $20 off. No exclusions. Unlike other stores, we don't make you come back to save. JCPenney. Sephora inside JCPenney, not participating. Offers end November 19th.
Introducing the all-new Prius V from Toyota. The newest member of the Prius family has the space of a small SUV, and with the available Entune multimedia system, you can access apps like iHeartRadio, Bing, and Open Table. So no matter where you are, you're connected. More Prius, more possibilities. The all-new Prius V. Available at your local Toyota dealer. For more details, visit toyota.com/PriusV.
Obey traffic regulations and maintain awareness of road conditions. Data charges may apply. Apps and services may vary by phone and carrier. See.com/Entune for details.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to First Shift. We'll talk a little football this weekend. Michigan State play on Saturday. Not each other, but they play Saturday, and of course, what?
Real quickly,
yeah.
Before we go into college, I know you're going to appreciate this stat. Tim Tebow's his run at the end of the game was the longest game-winning touchdown run by a quarterback in the final minute of the fourth quarter in NFL history.
Only ESPN would give us that.
I know, isn't that crazy?
Oh, sweet God. Okay, yeah, that's just a little weird. How long was the run?
20 yards.
And that's the longest run?
The longest game-winning touchdown run and by a quarterback in the final minute of a fourth
quarter. That's a little surprising, to be honest.
I know. That's what I was thinking as well.
Yeah, and 20 yards is, I mean, it's 20 yards. It's, you know, whatever. But if that's
but the... But I guess for a quarterback, yeah, you think maybe Randall Cunningham might have done something like that at one point?
Michael Vick, you certainly would first come to mind, but whatever. I mean, you know, God bless him. Hey. That's a weird stat. 20 yards, that's just a weird stat.
If you're a Broncos fan, I know we didn't want to talk about this, but aren't you kind of excited? I mean, like, they're not doing it the way you want. Their running backs, I don't think any other running back had, like, more than 30 yards, and their receivers obviously didn't have that many yards because there wasn't that many completions. And yet they're still winning. Like, you know,
it's much more fun to win unconventionally. When you're the home team, when it's your team, you know, those two games the Lions won where they came from 20-plus points down and they won.
A lot of fun.
Absolutely. But only to Lions fans. You know, so, yes, I think that if you're a Broncos fan, yeah, that's awesome. It's very cool.
Actually, you know, like when the Pistons were winning, and they were winning ugly, but they were holding teams under 70 points on defense, Detroit fans loved that.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? They loved it. But obviously, people around the country thought it was boring basketball, but it's like, you're not winning. We are. So, yeah, we love it. So I think it's kind of cool. Denver Bronco fans probably are having a ball right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so let's take a look at what's going on this weekend. Anthony, I'm sure you've got your prognosticator's hat on. I know Jeff does. So.
Oh, I thought you wanted me to go first.
I'm getting him prepared, dude. That's all. Relax.
Okay.
Relax. All right. I don't even know who Michigan State's playing tomorrow. Who's Michigan State playing tomorrow?
B team. Either Minnesota or Indiana. I can't remember. I think
How are you going to pick? How you already have your picks? You don't even know who they're playing.
It doesn't matter, really. I'll tell you. It's going to be a Michigan State win.
Okay. No, seriously, who are they playing tomorrow? One of us should know this. I actually looked it up this morning, and I already forgot.
It's Indiana.
It's Indiana. All right. So we'll start with you, Jeff. Indiana, Michigan State, tomorrow afternoon. Who do you pick? Obviously, we know.
Yeah, Michigan State, 42-6. And do I want to give them 6? Indiana's horrible. I mean, seriously. I don't even think that they have a win. Maybe they've beaten one, but not in the Big Ten. 42-6, yeah.
All right. Anthony, who do you pick on Saturday afternoon for Michigan State, Indiana?
I'll take Indiana. No, I'm joking. Michigan State, like 38-10 or something.
All right. Yeah, and I'm obviously Michigan State wins that game. I'm not going to guess a score because I don't know what kind of I don't know which offense is going to show up for Michigan State. That's the crazy thing about it.
They're at home though.
Yeah, but they have two offenses. I mean, you know, that's when Kirk Cousins actually shows up and when he doesn't show up, and who knows what he'll do tomorrow.
They don't even need him.
I don't think that'll happen. I think that Kirk Cousins has really hurt his pro chances, his draft position for next year. Considerably this year.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I think he's still pretty highly thought of.
Maybe highly thought of, but he did not progress from last year.
But when I say highly thought of, though, he's not in Andrew Luck category.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, he's not going to be a first-round draft.
No, absolutely not. Anyway, all right, let's take a, you know, Michigan plays Nebraska. I'll let Anthony go first on this one. A tough game, I think, Anthony. Your thoughts on Michigan-Nebraska?
I hate to do it, but I think Nebraska's going to pull it off.
Yeah. Close game, you think?
I don't know, at least by 10.
All right, so you want to give me a score?
I'll go 31-21.
Oh, wow. Okay, high-scoring game. Jeffrey, Michigan and Nebraska.
I think the same thing. Nebraska is, I just can't believe, I just looked this up and I'm trying to confirm it. I think Michigan's 3.5-point favorites.
No.
Oh my! I'm gonna look it up because I think I found one website that said that, and I can't believe it. I mean, they are at home, and the offenses are very similar because you have two quarterbacks who you're not real confident in their throwing abilities, but they both can take off and run at any time. And then the defenses, Michigan's defense has been better than last year's. Nebraska has been worse than they initially thought it would be.
But you're gonna go Nebraska?
Oh yeah, 31-26.
Okay, all right, and I'm certainly gonna go. I'm going to go with Nebraska as well. I don't think Michigan has the cojones to pull it off. And I don't think that's going to be as high scoring as the two of you do. I'm going to say 21-17 Nebraska.
You have a lot of faith in the defenses?
I do. I think it's just going to, because it's cold, they're going to be working a little harder.
That's why it goes against Michigan, to tell you the truth. Because if they don't pass and they just rely on the run and Burkhead is, I mean, Michigan. No,
if Nebraska commits to running only, Michigan's dead.
Right. Yep, exactly.
Absolutely. No question that's true. All right, now we turn our attention to Sunday's game in a must-win for the Detroit Lions. And I mean, in my opinion, this is a must win against the Carolina Panthers that are 2-7 on the year, Jeff, but they play well.
They go as Cam goes, and even if he has a good game, though, I've seen that they do still, you know, lose. Their defense is going to give up points, and it's, you know, Stafford with the gloves on and no win this time. I think 27-21 Lions.
Okay, a little closer than I would give it. Anthony, your thoughts on the Lions this weekend?
I'm actually going in a blowout. I don't know. I'm going to say like 42-17.
Wow, the Panthers over the Lions? That's incredible.
I know Cam Newton. I'm just feeling him this week.
Wait a minute. You're saying the Lions are going to get blown out?
No, I'm joking.
Okay. I was going to say, who are you watching the game with on Sunday?
Oh, my gosh. No, look at it. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. But, yeah,
Since
Wolverines,
when?
I did mean it. No, the Wolverines are 3.5-point favorites in a lot of Vegas odds.
Really?
That is nuts.
That is a little bit crazy, but okay. It must be because they're at home, I would guess.
Yeah, it's hard. I think the Big Ten only has, what, 9 or maybe 10 home or road victories. For the most part, the home team always wins.
Okay, well, that's interesting. All right, okay. Well, anyway, I'm going to pick the Lions as well. I'm going to go 35-14. I think it's a blowout as well. The defense has something to prove this week, and I think that they need to you know, they need to quell some of the negativity that's been coming their way nationally. This is a must win. I think they understand that. I think the person to watch this weekend is Nate Burleson. I think that during practice this week, the couple times he's been interviewed this week, and again, it's only Friday, so they don't start practicing till Wednesday. But the couple interviews that he's given, he is really, really on fire right now. Very excited. I don't know why he's so high, but he is. And Stafford, by the way, did an interview after practice yesterday and said that Wednesday's practice was the best Wednesday practice they'd ever had.
Would you hear why?
No, I
didn't. Their obscene chant before the practice started?
Yeah, I did hear about that. you know, I think they're just going to embrace this nastiness that's kind of following them. You might as well, Jeff, at some point.
Right.
All right, when we come back, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? Well, if you work for Target and actually for Walmart and some other stores, you may be getting pushed out the door a whole lot sooner than you'd like to be. We'll talk about that when First Shift continues. I'm Tony Trupiano. Stay with us. This is 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update brought to you by DTE Energy. We look pretty good out there, but, you know, Friday morning probably going to be lighter than normal traffic throughout the day. That doesn't mean we won't get our slow spots, but not yet seeing any of that as you're coming down M10 Northwestern to the Ruther, the Southfield, and becomes M10 the Lodge. We look pretty good as you head in toward downtown.
This holiday season, light every door with select energy-efficient holiday LED light strings and save $3 instantly at participating Eco Hardware and the Home Depot stores. Visit DTEenergy.com/saveenergy.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We are going to see sunny skies today. Our high, only 46. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 35. Tomorrow, partly sunny and a high near 51. Right now, 24 degrees, fair skies at Metro Airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Ooh, boy, it's tough in our economy. I know you worry about your own little world, bucko, whether you're going to have a job, your shrinking paycheck, no health care, rising prices on everything, stuff like that. But hey, bucko, it's not all about you. Show a little concern for those who are taking a real hard hit in this lean year, like Wall Street bankers. Did you know that top executives at Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, Bank of America, and so forth are facing up to 30% cuts in their bonus money? Some of them are looking at a bleak Dickensian end-of-year holiday season with no more than maybe a $5 million bonus stuffed in their stockings. I'll pause here for a second so you can reach for a tissue to dry those tears. It is disappointing, said a Wall Street compensation analyst who surveyed the executive suites at the big banks and concluded that this will be the weakest bonus season since the crash of 08. Yeah, these high rollers still have their base salaries of $1 million each as a cushion, plus platinum pensions, full health coverage, the corporate jet, chauffeured limousine, and all that executive frou-frou. But the annual bonus money is what it's all about, the rich sauce that makes the enchilada worth eating. Besides, it's not just about the eight-digit checks they're used to getting. As a former Wall Streeter explains, compensation is how you measure yourself and your value. See? And you thought the street's elites had no ethical values. In fact, they can count theirs dollar by dollar. This is Jim Hightower saying, did I mention that these sad-faced bankers are lousy at their jobs? Their banks are losing money. They dump thousands of their employees. They've had to pay out billions for defrauding their customers. And their blatant greed has sparked the most massive protest movement America has seen in decades. So the question is, why are they getting any bonus pay at all?
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us.
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. Feel free to join us, by the way, 888-552-3595, Tony at thetonyshow.org, and on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. Jeff, as you're well aware, Target stores will be opening up at midnight. Technically, the midnight Thanksgiving day or the day after Thanksgiving. And a young guy by the name of Anthony Hardwick decided that enough was enough. He went to change... .org and started a petition drive, which has now gathered over 40,000 signatures asking Target to change the time they will open. They're not going to do that, though, Jeff. And they're not alone. Target's not alone. Macy's, Gap, Kohl's, Toys R Us, and Best Buy, among other stores, Jeff, will be opening up at midnight, technically Friday morning, but Thanksgiving night. Basically, forcing employees of those stores to, in essence, pull away early because at some point, Jeff, you need to rest to go to work at midnight. You can't, you know, enjoy your family all day long and then just sleep 2 hours and go to work.
Well, not just that, but their employees have to get there before midnight's when the doors open. The employees would have to show up, I think, before 11 is what they're asking.
Yeah, 10 o'clock is what they're asking. And so it's unfair. And one of the people in the article I have in front of me said that in order for her to do that, she would have to go to bed, you know, at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, most people are eating dinner about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, not to mention those that eat dinner at their traditional dinner hour, which is 5 or 6 o'clock, Jeff. Is it fair? Is it unfair? Now, again, I said earlier on in this hour, and I'll give you a chance to chime in on this as well. I hate the fact that stores open. Listen, the open up at that 5 o'clock thing on the day after Thanksgiving on Friday morning is fine. But, you know, at this point, I'm tired of the major holidays being ignored by retailers. I'm just tired of it.
And I don't get why does it have to be Friday? You know, why can't it be Black Saturday or whatever? You know, I mean, why is it the day after a holiday like that, which just keeps, you know, now you're seeing 5 a.m. back down to midnight, back down to... I've seen years past where there was a Thursday afternoon deal, like a pre-Black Friday special.
And well, they actually, there are some retailers, Jeff, that have been doing, that did their Black Friday deals 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, Jeff.
Right. So, I mean, why not make it a weekend, like the Thanksgiving Day weekend, instead of the Friday after Thanksgiving?
First of all, I'm not somebody that is going to take advantage of those Black Friday deals.
Have you ever done that before?
Never.
I did it 1 year just to kind of experience it. And there was one thing that I thought, okay, yeah, this is kind of a... It wasn't even that great of a deal now that I look back on it. But I wanted to experience it. So you actually have to get there before the doors open, like hours
Which
before.
Is why there are always lines outside these stores.
Right. And you have to almost camp out. Now, the 1 year I did it was I got lucky because the year before they made you wait outside and I heard it was raining and it was sleeting. So these people were just, you know, pelted and the same people because it's almost like a tradition for these customers. But they let us sit in the store before the sale actually happened. And that happened at 3 a.m. So, but at midnight they were letting people in, and like an idiot, I went at like 1 or 1:30 or something, and it's just nuts. It's like pandemonium. As soon as like they announce the horn goes off or whatever, and then these people are, you know, you've been standing in your line for whatever because we had to stand in line for
right.
the gift that you wanted. There's like 10 different sales, and it was just wild. No control. I mean,
well,
I
that's
felt
the,
bad.
You know, Jeff. That's the other part of it is they have, you know, one of the papers did a big expose on this last year. They only have so many of the big item, whatever that is. So let's say there are 10 things. They only have so many of them, anyways. There's a limited quantity. They're never going to satisfy the amount of people that are going to show up. So you know that going in, people actually get very emotional about this stuff. You know, let's not forget we had the security guard at Walmart that was trampled to death a couple Black Fridays ago, which, of course, made national news, as it should. You know, consumers are part of the problem, to be honest with you, Jeff, because as long as people are willing to show up at that time, why wouldn't retailers want to go ahead and do
that? And that's exactly what one website that I saw that was saying, why are you petitioning Target to do it? They're just, you know, it's supply and demand. If there's a demand for it, then Target's going to put people out there. If you're a consumer, though, and rightfully so, think about what I did. I stupidly, like I said, I'll never do it again, but I, you know, didn't get much sleep. Went really early in the morning, and right after Thanksgiving, and sat, you know, almost, I basically did take naps, I think. I don't even remember. It was such a weird, you know, morning. But you know, if you don't do that, if you don't want to be part of that, then they won't open.
Yeah, exactly. It is certainly a matter of demand. And so I feel for the employees of these stores. You know, Target seems to be, was the lead store because the guy started the petition at change.org, so that's why they're getting most of the publicity on this story. But I think I read somewhere because there are a lot of stories out there on this, that when Walmart heard that Target was opening at midnight, they decided to open at 10 p.m. And at some point, folks, you know, when is it just going to be, well, we're open Thanksgiving Day. And that day, and it may be next year at the rate they're accelerating this. And at what point is enough enough? I mean, it's supposed to be, unlike the Christmas holiday, Thanksgiving is a national holiday. It has nothing to do with religion, so everybody celebrates it, Jeff. Everybody does. You know, you're not going to have, if you live in the United States, you celebrate Thanksgiving. So it's not like other holidays where for religious reasons you may not celebrate it. And at some point we need to protect that time with our families to stop and remember Thanksgiving, folks. Thanksgiving. What does that mean to you?
Well, right. And that's the thing that's coming out is, you know, the debate here is, you know, It's Thanksgiving, time to spend with families, and now if you go to work trying to support your family and be able to spend time with your family, well, now that time's being taken away because you have to go to work. So, you know, what are you working for if you can't spend time with your family on holidays? But the opposite side of it, people are actually saying, look, dude, you know, in this economy, you should be thankful you have a job and you should go. You know, go to work and not complain because you have a job and you just don't want to go to work.
You know, and let me be honest about it. As I announced earlier, we're not going to be live the day after Thanksgiving. We're going to run a best of show. And Jeff, 90% of the reason I did that is so that I don't have to stop in the middle of my Thanksgiving and prepare for the show. You know, I was saying to Anthony on the way home yesterday, you know, the one thing that you can't do for me and he can't do for me is my research. I have to do my own research. I have to do my own reading. I have to do my own prep. I know what I'm going to do. Nobody can do that for me. That takes time. So I didn't want to have to, you know, again, 2:00, 3:00 in the afternoon, because as early as we get up, I can't be up till 10 p.m. So I want to spend time. I don't see my family. I barely see the family I live with, Jeff, to be honest with you.
No, I'm right there. I'm right there with you. I do think, you know, thank God he has a job. But at the same time, you know, you have a job to spend the special moments and hang, you know.
Well, and I think I think that retailers know because the economy is so tight, you know, they've got employees over a barrel, so they don't have a choice. Absolutely.
Now, Target did come out, and again, I like Target. I shop there. But they did come out with a statement, and it's kind of, you know, when a guy like, the guy's name, Hardwick?
Yes.
He put his face on this. So Target to, you know, respond actually attacks him a little bit. And I thought, well, I don't know if I would have gone that way. But they say now our understanding is that this team member also works full time for another retailer. And in November, he informed us that he was scheduled to work his other job on Black Friday and Ken indicated he needed the day off. So we honored that request. And now people are kind of making a big deal. Okay, wait a minute. This guy didn't even have to work on Thanksgiving at Target and he's petitioning them not to work on Thanksgiving. You know, I'm like, don't kill the messenger. The message is what we're worried about.
Well, even in that scenario, let's go with that for a minute. You know, let's say this other job he has, let's say that he needed to be there at 7 a.m. There's a big difference between needing to be at work at 7 a.m. and needing to be to work at midnight, Jeff.
Well, that's true. What if he asked for Black Friday or Black Friday off because he's working at 7 a.m. That's a good point. He needs that day off. He's not going to go in for 3 hours or something at Target.
Well, again, I just don't, as a society, you know, we have given up so many traditions. And we are so fractured, you know, and this idea that, you know, we can't, you'll see it if you're not seeing him already on Facebook and other places, you know, please leave the Christ and Christmas. You know, this shouldn't even be an issue. We shouldn't be, you know, arguing whether or not we can celebrate Christmas or whether schools can call, you know, the Christmas break, or do they have to call it winter break? Come on, have we become that sensitive as a society that we can't just hold on to some traditions? You know, by calling it Christmas break, we are somehow, damning another religion. That's not what we're doing. And it just seems to me we've become so, you know, we had this conversation a few weeks ago about, you know, being overly politically correct. But at some point, this is about holding on to the tradition, family tradition, if nothing else. If for no other reason, to give people an opportunity to exercise family tradition. And a family tradition should not be, well, we need to leave at a certain time because I have a crappy job and have to work in a retail store and I need to be to work at midnight. That should not be a family tradition.
No, a family tradition should be you hanging out and actually getting to spend some time. I mean, that's the moments that matter the most.
Absolutely. Well, certainly this is another one we won't solve. And I'm sure that there are people listening to us right now, Jeff, that are going, you know what? I can't wait to go shopping at midnight as the clock strikes midnight. I know that people are saying that right now because they'll be there, supply and demand. All right, when we come back, we'll take a little bit of a little look at what's the aftermath of Mayor Dave Bing's speech, the city council, the workers, what do they think? You'll want to stay with us. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be back. Stay with us.
This is State Representative Lisa Brown from the 39th District, wishing all the listeners of the First Shift Show a very happy and healthy new year.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Come into the Home Depot today for pre-Black Friday savings on a wide selection of appliances. You don't have to wait until the day after Thanksgiving for savings like $200 off your choice of a front load or top load washer from LG. They're just $499 each right now. So beat the crowds with pre-Black Friday savings on appliances today. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. Home Depot for detail.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Jerry Persaud, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so So if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano on 1310 WDTW. Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trippiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour, the aftermath of Dave Bing's message to the city, to the region, has been met with very mixed results. And certainly the city council is not terribly pleased with the mayor, to be honest with you. They feel like he has not gone far enough. Fox 2's Robin Schwartz has that covered for us, and this is what she found out.
Detroit City Council members expressing frustration and disappointment with Mayor Dave Bing. They say he's not taking the drastic measures needed to fix the city's financial crisis. They plan to go to the governor for help.
The governor says that this was a crappy plan and that he's expecting a review of our finances. That means that the governor's office is extremely dissatisfied.
And Detroit City Council members say they are too. Now they're mobilizing an effort to deal with Detroit's financial crisis themselves.
We feel that we get one shot at this, one shot left before an emergency manager is at our door, and we've got to get it right.
They say Mayor Dave Bing is not going far enough, with the city facing a $45 million deficit. No commitment yet for any concessions from the unions, and time and money running out.
If we state that we'll be out of cash in April, we're certainly rolling towards an emergency manager.
The mayor should have been ready yesterday to announce 2,300 layoffs.
We've been waiting too long on our unions. We love our unions, but we can't wait on them. What we need to do is act. We need to start laying people off until we get the concessions.
They say a council committee has spent 3 weeks working on a plan. Now that plan will go before the full council. They hope to pass it in the form of a resolution and send it to Governor Rick Snyder, who they hope will put pressure on the mayor to act.
The council can't lay people off. Only the mayor can. The council cannot make budget amendments. Only the mayor can. So until we get that kind of leadership, then we're going to go to the source that can lean on the mayor and say, let's make this happen.
And we're told the council hopes to vote on this resolution possibly as early as next Tuesday.
All right, that's a response from the city council. Well, how do the workers in the city of Detroit feel about what was said? Channel 7's Julie Bonovich had this to report.
City workers are angry and frustrated over being asked to take yet another pay cut.
We got the entry-level pay rate for a lot of our folks is $10.96 an hour. They can't afford a 10% pay cut.
John Reel, president of Ask Me Local 207, calls the mayor's plan to cut union wages by 10% just plain nuts.
The mayor's crazy.
But Mayor Dave Bing says that the city is in such bad financial shape that if the unions, including police and fire, don't make concessions, they could be without a job next year. Even if contracts are good through next year, layoffs seem to be around the corner for workers no matter what they do, says Joe Valenti, president for the local Teamsters.
I believe that. Unfortunately, I don't think no matter what we do at this point in time or how much concessions we give, I think that's going to be inevitable.
Workers are also being asked to dig even deeper and give up some of their health care and pension benefits and overtime.
We don't really blame him specifically. There's just been so much that has gone on throughout the years. I just don't know who to point the finger at, and it's really irrelevant at this point.
That's because if the state does come in and take over, an emergency manager would have the power to force the unions to take the concessions that Mayor Bing is proposing.
If we run out of money, nobody's going to have a job. Nobody's going to get paid.
And Mayor Bing wants the concessions made by the 21st, but the unions are saying that's just not enough time.
All right, and now let's think about that a minute. Jeff, starting wage at $11 an hour, a 10% pay cut is you take away $1.10 from that. How can somebody live on that?
Well, how can you get used to a change? I mean, I don't know how drastic is it. Kind of, is it like going to just suddenly hit? I mean, or is it going to be gradual?
No, there'd be nothing gradual about it.
So suddenly you've got to just completely get used to, you know, what does it work out to be? Like maybe $80 a check?
Again, it just depends on how many hours you're working. I don't know what the average is because we know that they've cut, you know, plus they've, you know, most of them have furlough days, you know, forced furlough days. So they're getting paid, unpaid days off. And so, you know, they're doing a lot of four-day weeks. So you'd take, again, away another dollar an hour. Let's just keep it simple at a dollar an hour. So let's say it's 40 bucks at $40 a week at $10 an hour. Before taxes, it's 400 bucks. Do the math, Jeff. It's not very much money. Even if you're making 20 bucks an hour and you take away, you know, 10%, you know, you're talking about $2 to 18. You know, again, it's simple math. And these and the Joe Valenti from the AFSCME or Teamsters was right when he said it's probably not going to matter anyway because most of these people are going to get laid off.
Well, and that's what it sounds
so
like.
So even if they take concessions, they're going to get laid off.
Yeah, it sounds like that in city council, I don't know if maybe they have their hands tied, but it sounds like they wanted a lot more layoffs.
Yeah, 2,300. That's what Gary Brown said, 2,300. Whew. It's a mess. It is an absolute mess, and I certainly don't envy them. I know that we're going to try to get somebody on from one of the Detroit unions on Monday.
Yep, reached out already.
Okay, and to see if we can help work through this with them. I don't have the answer. You know, one of the things, Tom Barrow and I talked yesterday off air about something totally unrelated, and at the end of our conversation, I just happened to say, hey, what did you think of the mayor's speech? And of course, Tom Barrow ran against Dave Bing in the last election, and you know he had given me some really interesting feedback, and so I thought, you know, this might be good to share with the audience, which is how we ended up adding him to the show today, because I think it is some really interesting feedback. But with that said, you know, these are not new problems, and as Tom will explain to us, you know, every city, Jeff, borrows to get through to the end of their fiscal year because they all run out of money. This is not, as Tom said to me yesterday, this is not new for municipalities. You know, because your revenue comes in at a certain time, and you know that most municipalities have to borrow to cover to get through the end of the year when the next round of taxes are due. So that is not an unusual circumstance. Of course, it doesn't deal with the bigger problem, which is the revenue part of this. And I said this yesterday, and I'll say it again today because nobody's talking about it. We can talk about expenses all we want. What about revenue? What do we do about the revenue part of the equation? We are ignoring the revenue part of the equation.
Isn't the big problem that I think cities have been facing for a while is people are actually leaving the cities and going to the suburbs. And I mean, not just Detroit. It's across the country. But there are a lot of younger people. And I think you said, you know, some of your sons as well, like going into Detroit.
Anthony.
You'd like to go, you know, even now, I like going into Detroit. I wish, you know, that they made it maybe.
And let's make this simple. I don't mean to interrupt you, but we're up against the clock. Anthony, if you could live in the city of Detroit, would you?
Definitely.
Yeah, see? Jeff, there's your answer.
That's exactly the case. You got to make it friendlier for the younger people to come back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, we got to take a break here for the top of the hour. In the next hour, Ryan Bates, Tom Barrow, and Zach Steve from Occupy Detroit. So we got a lot to get to in the next hour. It is Friday. Joe DeSano in the 8 o'clock hour. Let's take the break here. Diane Cross coming up with traffic and weather. CNN with headline news. This is First Shift. I'm Tony Trupiano, and you are listening to 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update brought to you by DTE Energy. It's been kind of slow already, 94 westbound. You're trying to get out near the airport. You're going to have a lot of company there. Drivers are finding the backups as you try to head toward 275. Part of that, I'm sure, is because of the construction going on. And there's been construction on the ramps with 275 and 94 as well. MDOT's hoping to get that done today. That could be why the slowdowns, they may be hurrying to finish that up.
Brighten your home for the holidays. Get $3 instant discounts on select energy-efficient LED light strings at participating Eco Hardware and the Home Depot stores. Visit DTEenergy.com/saveenergy.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We are going to see sunny skies today. Our high, only 46. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 35. Tomorrow, partly sunny and a high near 51. Right now, 24 degrees, fair skies at Metro Airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, another major university athletics program's being rocked by sexual abuse allegations. The claims being made against Syracuse basketball assistant Bernie Fine, who's now on administrative leave. CNN's Alina Cho reports there are two allegations of abuse.
Police say they have now reopened an investigation into disturbing allegations of sexual abuse. Now, Fine allegedly molested two former ball boys, including Bobby Davis, who is now 39 years old. Davis told ESPN's Outside the Lines last night that the abuse started back in the 1980s.
And a new accuser stepped forward in the alleged child sex scandal involving former Penn State assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky. This one claims he was sexually assaulted back in the 1990s. His lawyer, Jeff Anderson, says he's gotten calls from more than 10 people claiming they were abused by Sandusky, and he says they all sound credible.
Either at the schools, at the events, on trips, at a variety of locations. And in some instances, he raped or assaulted them on one occasion. In some instances, it's multiple.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's being sent to Myanmar, also known as Burma, next month. It's the first visit there by a U.S. Secretary of State in more than 50 years. President Obama made the announcement during his Asian trip. 245 Occupy Wall Street demonstrators were arrested yesterday in New York. Congressman Peter King is a fierce critic of the protesters.
To me, there was absolutely nothing about them that would resonate with the American people. There was no real message coming from them. And there, to me, there were people living in their own filth. I don't see why the media or anyone took them seriously.
Today is the last time TV host Regis Philbin will take his seat next to co-host Kelly Ripa, wrapping up his 28-year run on morning television. He talked about how TV has changed over the years.
Go back to the old days, the Dean Martin variety show, Carol Burnett show. I mean, you felt better when you watched that show. You had a few laughs. You enjoyed their talent.
Philbin says there's just not as much fun on TV these days. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Micro here once again, chatting with Fiona from a local Ford dealership. How are you, Fiona?
I'm good, thank you.
What do you want to talk about today?
Tires.
Fiona, you were just telling me that Ford is having some sort of big tire event?
Correct.
What's it called?
The Big Tire Event.
You're calling the Big Tire Event the Big Tire Event?
Yes, we are.
Oh, well, there you go. What is it, the savings, the selection, rebates? Why is it big?
Everything.
Everything is big.
Everything is big with this event.
What about selection?
Big selection.
Savings?
Big savings.
Inventory?
Big inventory.
Rebates?
Big rebates.
When you buy four Goodyear, Dunlop, Continental, Hankook, Pirelli, or Yokohama tires, you get $100 back. A big rebate for a big event. Plus, Ford dealers will beat any competitor's advertised price with a low-price tire guarantee.
So now we're starting to see why the Big Tire Event is
so big.
Exactly.
Competitor's ad required for tire guarantee. Stop by any participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 11/30/11.
The chasm between big banks lending and small businesses able to borrow is growing. Loans down 0.3% over 3 months, according to research by the Small Business Administration. But one of the biggest big banks says its loans to small businesses are way up. Bank of America tells the Los Angeles Times it loaned $7.8 billion to U.S. small businesses the first half of this year. That's a 35% increase from the first half of 2010. Worries about our present economic state persist, but next year is going to be better. That's what the Conference Board's Index of Leading Indicators has been showing over the past few months. We get the latest reading this morning. Ongoing worries about Europe's debt crisis infecting Spain and mandating possible European Central Bank action have hit global markets yet again. Asian and European markets down about 1% today, but U.S. investors are taking the road less traveled by. S&P futures up 8 points. NASDAQ futures rising 9. Dow futures up almost 70. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Blurriness, wavy lines, blind spot, these are all symptoms of a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, also known as wet AMD. It can develop quickly and it's a leading cause of blindness in people 60 and older. Learn about your risk factors and find out how a retina specialist can help. Just visit amdawareness.org. And if you aren't seeing clearly, get checked now. Knowing the symptoms may save your sight. Learn more at amdawareness.org today. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
I've been riding since I was 17. Flat out my whole life. Had some medical issues. Then I was prescribed one drug one place, another somewhere else. United Healthcare saw I could be in real trouble if I'd have taken both drugs together. They spotted the danger, and United Healthcare warned my pharmacist in time. We only get one shot, and I want to leave this life exhausted.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
The Home Depot has made a special buy on Home Accents Holiday 300-count icicle lights. Now just $7.48 a box. You save $2 on every box, so you can stretch more of those lights along your roof lines and more of your budget throughout the season. Make the holidays even brighter with 300-count icicle lights, just $7.48. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
What do we do before social media? Smoke signals? I mean, everybody's using it. Wouldn't it be great if you, small business owner, could get your best customers to share your message with all their friends? Now you can, with email marketing from Constant Contact. That's right, email. You send a Constant Contact email to your customers. It has a share button that lets them, well, share your message on social media. And suddenly, OMG, their friends become your next customers. This so beats smoke signals. Go to ConstantContact.com and sign up for a free 60-day trial today.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. And that question is, are you ready for change? And if you are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
Just after 7 o'clock on this First Shift Friday program, thanks for punching in. Three great stories in this hour. In just a minute, we're going to check in with Ryan Bates from the Alliance for Immigrants' Rights and Reform. And we're continuing to follow the story of Mastronardi Products in Livonia and their horrid and inhumane treatment of their employees. And we need you to get involved and engaged. And this is a story I'm going to continue to follow until we have a positive resolution to it. It literally is happening 5 minutes from where I'm sitting right now. And again, we're going to remind you what the story is all about in just a few minutes. This should not be happening, and should not be happening in Michigan. It shouldn't be happening in the United States. And we, God forbid, we really would hope it's not happening in the world. But it is. We need to deal with it, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Tom Barrow at the bottom of the hour will ring in on Mayor Dave Bing. And then at 7:50, as we do every day, we will check in with Occupy Detroit. Zach Steve will be our guest today. We had him on with us the other day. Just a really great guest. Want to remind you, of course, you're always welcome to join us. 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@theshow.org. And on Twitter, @TonyTrupiano. So let us turn our attention now to the director of the Alliance for Immigrants' Rights and Reform, Mr. Ryan Bates. Ryan, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Good morning, Tony. Thanks for having me on.
Now, again, this is, I think, a critical story. Of all the stuff we're covering right now, and we're covering some awfully important stuff, I don't know that there's anything quite as important as this, Ryan.
Well, you know, the condition of workers who kind of work in the shadows of our economy, it's just appalling. You know, folks who are doing the hard work that make all our lives possible, you know, you'd think they'd be afforded some basic human rights and basic dignity. But at this plant in Livonia, Mastronardi, which packs pretty much all of the tomatoes, peppers, and specialty produce that grocery stores in southeast Michigan consume, they're treating their people like dirt. And the health and safety practices are so disgusting, you wonder about the quality of the food that's being put on our table. And you know, I'll give you one example. At this produce packing plant, a couple of months ago, the refrigeration system exploded, and there was a massive ammonia leak in the plant. And they made the workers keep working. First, they they took them outside in the snow for a little bit. Then they locked them in the cafeteria for a little bit. But eventually they put them back on the line. And people are passing out from the fumes. And these people who passed out, who had to go to the hospital, they had to pay for their own ambulance care. That's how disgusting this treatment is. And the food that was in that plant, the food that was exposed to those chemicals, they were forced to keep packing it. So that means that the chemicals that were harsh enough to put workers in the hospital ended up on your dinner plate. So, you know, what we're going to do this Saturday, we're going to have a rally outside the plant, bring workers, former workers, the community together to say enough is enough. The company needs to negotiate. They need to improve their conditions. So folks are meeting down at Clark Park in Detroit, in southwest Detroit, over by the corner of Clark and Verner at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock at Clark Park, we're going to caravan over to the plant and make it clear that this sort of behavior is just completely unacceptable in our community.
Ryan, any idea why the mainstream media has totally ignored this story? I have not seen this story, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back here. I am not. I haven't seen or heard of this story anywhere but here.
Well, you know, Tony, I give you credit for having your ear to the ground on issues that really matter to working people. And, you know who's been covering it is the Spanish language papers. A lot of the workers in that plant are Latino. They're immigrants. And the Spanish language papers have been really watching this very closely. I don't often do this, but the Detroit News actually had a story the other week, on Tuesday. The workers, and I'm really proud of these guys, they had a little rally outside of the state building down at Cadillac Place with their pastor and some union folks, and they went to go file OSHA complaints. You know, they tried to tell the company, you know, what you're doing is dangerous and wrong, and they didn't fix it, so they went and filed complaints with the state. And the Detroit News covered that. So we're starting to break through the mainstream media, and I do think a big part of that is the way you've been paying attention and your advocacy on behalf of these workers, trying to get people's attention.
And Ryan Bates, I appreciate that. You know, but again, these are some very serious issues here. We're talking about again being treated inhumanely. We're talking about ignoring, basic human rights. We're talking about perhaps putting toxic food in cans and glass jars and sending it into homes of people that work hard to put food on their table. And again, you would expect at some level that not just the media would pay attention to this, but the regulatory agencies that are charged with protecting us.
Well, we got good news yesterday, and that is that OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, after being alerted to what's going on at that factory by the workers, wants to come in and do an inspection. And, you know, we talked to the workers, and none of them have ever seen an inspector in that plant. So that's definitely good news. Now, it didn't happen until we showed up with the media on their doorstep and had a rally. But it shows that they're starting to pay a little bit of attention. Now, the point you made about this link between the way workers are treated and the health and safety violations is very important. One thing we see very often is that companies who will break one set of rules will often break the other sets of rules. If you're cutting corners on how you pay your workers, your health, how safe your factory is, you're probably cutting corners on the safety and quality of your product too. And this is just one thing that really surprises me and also inspires me about these workers. One of the things that they're most angry about is that they were forced to put out bad quality product. You know those little item stickers?
Yeah.
So one of the things their managers would do was they would force them to take those item stickers and use them to cover up little moldy, rotten spots on the fruit and the vegetables. And when the workers said, hey, we don't want to do this, we don't want to make people eat this bad food, They got yelled at. They got abused. They said they were treated like animals. So even though they're working for this company that's stealing their wages, that makes them be there 2 hours early before they punch in, that makes them work in unsafe conditions, the workers still want to do a good job because they know that what they do is important, because hard work is valuable, because they have dignity and pride in what they do. And the company that's supposed to be in charge, that's supposed to be safeguarding the quality of the food that's being put on our table, they're yelling at the workers for trying to make sure it's good, safe, and healthy. So I'm so proud of folks for what they're standing up to do, and I'm so proud of our members who have now filed a class action lawsuit on behalf of all the workers at Mastronardi who've had their pay stolen and been forced to work in unsafe conditions.
Well, Ryan Bates, again, the good news is since we first reported this story some months back, there has been significant progress in righting some of these wrongs. I just want to remind people, by the way, their website is MichiganImmigrationReform.org, MichiganImmigrationReform.org. Again, tomorrow, Saturday at 1 o'clock at Clark Park, they're going to be caravanning over to the Mastronardi, the plant in Livonia. So if you'd like to support these folks, and I really want to encourage you to go out there and do that, tomorrow is your opportunity to indeed do that. And again, we need to stay on top of this story. Ryan, you did give us a lot of good news today. I'm really glad that we did this update because, you know, the last time we talked, you know, things were not looking good. And so it's important to know and for this audience to know, because I get a good, I always get a good reaction to this story. I just wish that we were getting more support when we need it, which is tomorrow. So I'm hoping people will go out tomorrow. Folks, I appreciate the emails saying, hey, thanks for doing the story. Some of you should show up tomorrow. Show a little support.
Well, thank you, Tony. And if folks can come tomorrow, join us at that rally. That'll be really important. And if you can't, one thing you can do on Monday, go to our Facebook page. On Monday, go to our Facebook, and you'll be able to download a little simple letter. And you print it off, and when you go buy your groceries, you know, ask to make sure that that letter goes to the manager. Say, hey, I'm concerned about the way the workers are treated. I'm concerned about the quality of the produce coming out of this plant. You know, I want to make sure that we're supporting, you know, quality produce and good values with my grocery money.
Yeah, and we'll make sure that, we'll make sure on Monday that we link to that letter. Absolutely. Ryan Bates, thank you so much. Appreciate your time this morning.
Hey, thank you, Tony. Really appreciate it.
You bet. Again, the Alliance for Immigrants' Rights and Reform Michigan, and the website is MichiganImmigrationReform.org, MichiganImmigrationReform.org. Let's support these folks. A quick break here. We got a little time for open lines before Tom Barrow joins us at 7:35. Feel free to pick up the phone and call us now. What's on your mind? 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. This is State Representative Harvey Santana of the 10th District here live on the Tony Trupiano Show. I just want to wish everyone out there a happy holiday season. Happy holidays. Be safe. Be with your family. I love you.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update brought to you by DTE Energy. Friday morning, it's been pretty quiet for the most part. A few spots of heavy traffic like 75 southbound 12 mile in towards 696. If you're on the Ruth or West coming into 75, a little bit busier there. We had a disabled vehicle earlier on the Lodge. Northbound looks like after I-75 coming out of downtown. Looks like not an issue whatsoever.
This holiday season, light every door with select energy efficient holiday LED light strings and save $3 instantly at participating Eco Hardware and the Home Depot stores. Visit DTEenergy.com/saveenergy.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service is going to be windy today and sunny. Look for a high near 46. Tonight, though, the clouds roll in, a low near 35. Tomorrow, it's going to be partly sunny, and hopefully we'll hit 51 degrees. Right now, mostly cloudy, 25 degrees at the airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
On to round three. If a train leaves Spokane...
Schenectady by Saturday.
Correct. March comes before May. What's in my left pocket?
Half a mint and a rusty switchblade.
Correct.
Bam.
Who lets you watch TV episodes and movies instantly over the internet?
Ha-ha! Netflix!
Correct! Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
That is red!
I know. Can you put me down now?
Sorry. I'm a hugger.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Good news for anyone with a roofing problem, because you could use a little. GAF Timberline shingles have a lifetime limited warranty and are backed by GAF's advanced protection technology for long-term performance and wind resistance no matter where you live. They're North America's number one seller, and they're affordably priced at the Home Depot, just like everything else you'll need for an integrated watertight roofing system. GAF shingles, quality you can trust. See limited warranty for complete coverage and restrictions.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock. Thank you for punching in this morning on First Shift. We're open lines at the bottom of the hour, so feel free to give us a call. Toll free, 888-552-3595. Let us welcome Zach in Detroit to First Shift. Zach, welcome to First Shift.
How are you? So here's what I have to say. I know there's a big Occupy Wall Street movement going on, and people are, you know, they're just in general angry at, you know, the people who control our stock market, our companies and all that. But I think the people should really be focusing their anger on a few companies that really made all this possible. Companies like IBM and Accenture, whose business it is to export American jobs. These companies companies like that have exported millions of Americans' jobs since the 90s. And they're the people who also want to push companies to say that companies should get tax breaks for exporting jobs. I mean, I think the people should really focus their attention on these culprits.
Well, and certainly the Occupy movement is getting more specific. Zach, you do bring up an important point. You know, and every time we talk about exporting jobs, NAFTA immediately comes to mind. And NAFTA is NAFTA is responsible for us losing more jobs than any initiative in the history of this country.
I agree.
Yeah, and people need to pay attention to that. What we really need to do is take a look at these free trade agreements that are already in place and redo them. And we need to be very careful about how we move forward with future trade agreements, because more times than not, they have been detrimental to the United States.
I mean, everybody thinks IBM is a computer company. It's a computer company, but they're a big part of their business is also exporting jobs.
Yeah, there's no question. And thank you for your call, Zach. Any multinational company, folks, that has the ability to hire, to create jobs, these so-called job creators, their first choice is not normally the United States of America. You know, that's why we need to celebrate what the UAW did in this latest round of contract negotiations by moving some of the jobs that had been sent to Mexico to repatriate them back to the U.S. I mean, that was huge in that contract. You know, we don't often see that kind of thing in a collective bargaining agreement, so we give the UAW a lot of credit for repatriating, you know, thousands of auto jobs that we need. I mean, we desperately need them. But Zach is completely correct. When we focus on, you know, issues, one of them should be repatriating jobs or, you know, we're talking with Ryan about, you know, doing the humane thing. It's kind of inhumane to take jobs that we know we need in this country and to deliberately deny the people in your own backyard that opportunity. And ultimately, again, this is the supply and demand issue, but, you know, ultimately, whatever it is IBM is making, if I can't afford to buy it because you're not hiring me, then you're not going to need to sell what it is you're making. And, you know, even if we look into, you know, how do we work in a global environment if we're selling a printer in the U.S. as well as Uzbekistan, you know, do we care as a corporation? Probably not. That's just the reality. You know, corporations don't care. Their fiduciary responsibility is to their shareholders. And so they need to perform to their shareholders. It's no different. Well, anyway, I won't get into that. I'm just telling you, folks. As corporate citizens, there's been a lot of humane stuff that has gone on over the last decade or two. And until they start repatriating some of these jobs and making sure that Americans have work, we're not going to see a greater turnaround. Let me, for a second, turn to our Facebook First Shift poll question of the day, which is a study released yesterday said that even though we are 2 years out of the recession, the majority of people still believe we are in a recession. Do you believe the country is still in a recession? Now, in Michigan, maybe that's an unfair question to ask because certainly we are. We have not seen the kind of job growth that we need here in Southeast Michigan to bring the unemployment numbers down to an acceptable number. Other parts of the country, they're doing much better than we are here. But with that said, the question remains, do you feel like we're out of the recession? The people that have voted in the poll this morning, every one of them have said, yes, we are still in a recession. Even though technically we are 2 years out of it, people still believe we are in a recession. A lot of that, according to the article that I read, has to do with property values because everybody's property values have plummeted. You know, and we equate our property value with our own, you know, self-worth financially. Well, we're not seeing a rebound in the real estate markets yet, at least, again, here, not here in Southeast Michigan. And really, nationally, we're not seeing it in a huge way. But that, you know, points out to us that, you know, this is always, you know, your personal finances, of course, it's always going to be about what's happening to you. And so we know that here in the state of Michigan, our property values can continue to plummet. And the domino effect of that, of course, is cities aren't collecting as much money in tax revenue, more millages. You know, there's a great story in today's Free Press about the value of your property versus how much you're paying in taxes. And exponentially, they haven't moved in the same direction. That's because, as voters, we've been gracious enough to our communities to say we honor our police and our fire and our services, and we're willing to pay a little more for them. So that's why we're not paying a whole lot less in taxes than you might think you would be, because we have, as voters, have said, yes, we will support these things at our own cost. But as we pointed out on last week's show, as our property values have declined, and even though the millages are up, and we're talking about less than 1% difference year to year, so it's not that significant as far as out-of-pocket goes, because we're not being charged as much in property taxes. So what we're having to make up for in millages is being offset unfortunately, in the revenue that's created by the property values. That's an unfortunate reflection of what's going on. I don't know how long it takes to turn that around. I talked to one realtor that said it would take 5 years to truly see, I mean, a positive growth, 5 years of positive growth before we can get back to where we are pre-recession level values. And then would take then again another 5 years of really aggressive growth before we would see, again, our properties appreciate. That's a decade. You know, that's a decade. You know, for a lot of people, again, last week's newspaper, Sunday paper, or maybe it was the Sunday before that, you know, did that piece on, you know, people that, what they were going to do in retirement. You know, a lot of people, the plan for a lot of people was always, you know, you get your pension, you sell the big house when you retire, you buy something smaller cash, you take whatever money's left over from that, you sock it away to make sure that you've got enough money to live until you die. That plan's out the window, shot to hell for most people. For most people, not to mention what's happened to their stocks. And how about those people that their pension plan's tied to a 401k? You are very much at the mercy of the markets. You think the 1% are happy? Yeah. You think the 99% are? Absolutely not. That's why. All right, Tom Barrow, when we continue, you're going to want to stay with us. I'm sure he's got some interesting stuff to say. I am Tony Truppiano. We'll take the break, and First Shift will continue after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning to you, Tony. Our total traffic update brought to you by Ford Driving Skills for Life. And our Friday morning commute has not been too bad. Coming out on I-96, the Jefferies from 275 toward Telegraph Southfield. We look pretty good through there. Just a few pockets here and there of traffic. For those maybe trying to go all the way in toward downtown, a little bit busier as you get closer toward I-94. Southfield Freeway, we're doing pretty well. But remember, MDOT's been setting up construction from Warren up toward 96, the Jefferies. And when they get those barrels pulled into the roadway, we do see the delays.
Wintertime driving can be hazardous, especially for newly licensed teen drivers. Visit Ford Driving Skills for Life's award-winning website at drivingskillsforlife.com for great safe driving tips.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service is going to be mostly sunny today, our high near 46. It is going to be windy, though. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 35. Tomorrow, we are going to see some sun and a high near 51. Right now, it is mostly cloudy out at Metro Airport. We've got 25 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
You're listening to WIND. Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Wisconsin's campaign to recall Governor Scott Walker for his attack on public worker collective bargaining is off to a powerful, robust start. United Wisconsin is spearheading the recall effort. United Wisconsin Board Co-Chair Lynn Freeman.
We have a database of over 210,000 interested citizens of the state of Wisconsin who'd like to recall the governor. We are our volunteers are over 7,000 strong. We've participated in circulator training sessions all over the state for the past few weeks. Right now, there's more than 9,000 people trained to be petition circulators. We are optimistic that we will get well over the 540,000 plus that we'll need to demonstrate the point that the citizens of Wisconsin do not want Scott Walker to be their governor.
We Are Wisconsin, the state Democratic Party, and RecallWalker.org are some of the other groups that are very active in the recall. Three Republican state senators are also being recalled. Recall Walker parties and events are being held statewide. This Saturday, the recall movement will hold a huge rally in Madison. 1 year and 6 months ago, BP's Deepwater Horizon suffered an explosion, killing 11 workers, sinking and creating the largest oil spill in the history of the United States. Jesse Russell reports on a study of the impact of that spill.
It wasn't until September 19th of last year that the well was officially declared dead. During that time, and for months after, a massive cleanup effort was waged in the Gulf of Mexico to save a region still reeling from the impact of Hurricane Katrina nearly half a decade earlier. Now the National Institute of Environmental Sciences is on the lookout for workers who took part in that cleanup effort to study and diagnose possible health effects from exposure. According to the Tri-Parish Times, the Institute expects to see nearly 55,000 participate in the study. They aren't limiting the study to only cleanup workers. They want to talk to anyone who may have been exposed at a cleanup site for at least one day. More information is available at nihgulfstudy.org.
200 members of IAM Local 516 are on strike at Manitowoc Crane in Wisconsin. IAM Local 516's Ben Elizondo says the strike was triggered when the company took a page from Scott Walker's union-busting playbook and tried to attack the basic union structure by ending dues checkoff and forcing workers to vote every year to keep union representation.
That's our opinion, because at first they had proposed to allow members to vote every October as to whether or not they wanted to pay dues and belong to the IAM, which pretty much mirrors, Walker's thing about once a year voting, as to whether you want to be in the union or not.
This newscast made possible in part by the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, and by AFSCME, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My favorite way to wake up in the morning is with Tony Truppiano. And first shift on 1310 WDTW. Now here's Tony.
35 after the hour. As you've been listening throughout the morning, we have been going back and forth to Dave Bing's speech on Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. That all the networks gave him time for. The reaction from both the city council and the workers has been stark and clear. The majority of people just don't believe that what the mayor had to say was enough. In fact, as we were working through this yesterday, the prevalent comment was there was nothing new. The mayor brought us nothing new. I so happened to be talking to Tom Barrow yesterday afternoon, not about this. And at the very end of our conversation, I said, hey, by the way, what did you think of the mayor's speech? Well, after we talked for a few minutes, I asked him to join us this morning. And on the other end of our line is the former mayoral candidate and currently with Citizens for Detroit's Future, Mr. Tom Barrow. Tom, thanks for giving us some time this morning.
Tony, it's great to be with you. I appreciate having the time to spend with you.
Well, listen, I'm just going to throw it out to you. What did you think of Mayor Bing's plan to fix the city?
Well, let me say this. Let me first give the caveat. I think it's no secret I ran against him in 2009. So having said that, people can take what I say and evaluate it, but I think it's a pretty straightforward approach. I watched it, him talking. It was clear to me, Tony, and I gotta believe it's clear to the public that, frankly, he simply doesn't know. He was reading. You could tell he was reading, so that means somebody wrote him a speech. And whoever that person was who wrote him the speech, that's who's really, the one who's doing the talking. This draconian call for the emergency financial manager. I think, people can take it for what it's worth, but I think we're nowhere near that. And if you'll note, the public should note that these are not calls that are coming from the state treasurer down to the city or from the governor down to the city. These are calls, which is the normal way a financial manager comes into being. These are calls from the bottom up, attempting to scare and to frighten and to sound draconian. So the first thing I do, of course, is I look at, what's the indicators? I mean, let's take a look at the audit reports. The auditors are KPMG. I look at their audit report. There's no going concern, opinion exception there. There's no going concern. That would be the first thing that would tell us. I don't hear arguments or I don't hear cries for draconian cuts from the Auditor General of the City of Detroit. I don't see anything coming from the analysis division. That doesn't mean that we don't have serious legacy cost issues, because I believe we probably do. But paying Ernst & Young $1.7 million for a cash flow projection to tell us that we will be short of cash by April, that's an absurd thing. You've got all kinds of accountants working for the city. But to pay $1.7 million means, heck, we're going to run out of money now 4 or 5 days sooner because you just flittered off of 1.7 million because he doesn't know. But let me just hit on a couple of the things, Tony, that does concern me. I believe we got legacy cost issues. There's no such thing as a structural deficit. There is no such financial term as that. What they're really saying is that we got to get our legacy costs under control and in line with our revenues. And I didn't hear anything talking about bringing in new revenues, creative ways. But I did get concerned about turning over public lighting, and that's one of those kind of strong kind of Republican kind of things to do, that you privatize everything. But the problem I'm going to have with that is, if you've let this corporation, DTE, get its hooks into you, and you let them put in 5,000 streetlights, have them supply the electricity, have them control that whole aspect, they will do Detroit just as they did Highland Park. They will come in one day, and as they do people in Detroit all the time, they'll have some ungodly-sized bill that you can't figure out how in the heck they computed it. And when you don't pay it, they'll snatch the plug out. But I don't see where we have the serious draconian issues that he seems to suggest, because he doesn't know. What I did hear him say, Tony, is that we have a cash flow problem. But that's not unusual for municipalities.
Yeah, and Tom Barrow, this is really what piqued my interest when we were having the conversation yesterday. You said that that's not unusual at all.
Well, no. Municipalities often, because of the timing differences between when they assess taxes and when they collect taxes, there's naturally a timing difference that has to be covered with what are called tax anticipation notes. That's normal. You borrow around, you know, May or whatever, and, of course, that gives you the time, because you borrow in anticipation of your tax collections. That then gives you the time to be able to get through to the end of the fiscal period. And then after that, you pay it back in the first couple of days in July. But what that does mean is that, you know, that's normal. You don't go and you wind up shutting down your whole city because of that. That's kind of the recurring kind of thing. But what I'm really saying is, what I heard him say and what I've seen in the audit reports is that we will have a $43 million excess of revenue, excess of expenditures over revenue by year end. Well, hell, I mean, I shouldn't say that. Heck, that's not a big deal. Now, that can be easily handled. That means you don't have a serious problem there. Now, we may have to get our legacy costs under control, but that doesn't mean you shut down, call in a financial manager, roll up the city sidewalks, and do all this draconian stuff. I don't see it, nor do I think he knows. I don't think he knows. And I think it's clear to people. He's not in charge. He doesn't know.
And I believe, Tom Barrow, that you're right. This has nothing to do with you being his one-time opponent. You have knowledge in these areas, Tom Barrow. And I think it's responsible to this audience to have a serious discussion about this. You know, listen, as we were playing some audio earlier this morning, you know, the concessions that the mayor is asking unions to take, one of the union presidents says, whether we take these concessions or not, they're going to be laying us off anyway. So where's the motivation to take the concession? On top of that, as he said, some of these people are starting at $10.96 an hour. How do you take a 10% pay cut from that, Tom Barrow?
Well, I don't. That's not where the savings are, and you're not going to be able to cut your way out of things. I mean, you may have to go back and renegotiate. And I really do believe that I believe that everybody who works for the city is interested in the city being successful and going forward. I don't think the governor is going to permit, nor will I think he initiate the bringing in of a financial manager, because that would just destroy the entire state if you did that to the number one city in the state. And certainly when there's no indications for it, there's triggers for an emergency financial manager, and Detroit simply hasn't met those triggers. And you're not going to do it with somebody who's making $8, $9, $10 an hour. I mean, if every city employee make $50,000 a year and you got 11,000 of them, that's only $550 million. Well, our budget is $3.1 billion. I mean, so something else is going on that's pretty large and pretty huge. So, you know, it's this cry that I don't see the basis of it. The evidence is not there. And certainly not a cash flow projection, because people can be, and businesses can be, and cities can be very well off and have a cash flow problem. That's not unusual. And I gotta tell you, Tony, I hate to use Brooks Patterson as the example, but doggone it, he's got Bob Dadow out there, I believe is his name, who's the guy out there who's projecting budgets 3 years in advance. And hell, we catch heck here doing one. There's something terribly wrong there. We just don't know, because we don't have it at the top. We don't have it at the top. And people who are doing the loudest screeching, the newspapers and the editorial folks, they may assault and say, you know, I'm just sticking my head in the sand and ignoring reality. They don't know themselves. And their draconian measures are just, in my view, are premature. And I guess, as they say here in Detroit, you need to pull up and pump your brakes.
Well, Tom, in a couple minutes that we have left, the governor is sounding like the governor is leaning towards an emergency manager for the city of Detroit. I think that would be a disaster, a colossal disaster. How do we begin to solve this problem, Tom? And it's got to get solved.
Well, you know, Tony, I guess my feeling is that I know that he doesn't know, and I think the target moves so often with him. You almost have to rely on your city council, I suppose, to put together a plan that will make sense and being mindful of what's real and what's not real. I don't know that the governor is going to send in an emergency financial manager because we haven't even began the initial steps of it. This is all talk from the bottom up. This is not something that's been initiated by the governor, and now we're reacting to the editorial people. See, saying, making those kinds of statements. The governor's not indicated that he's going to have an emergency financial manager. That's just hyperbole coming from the bottom up to the top and now getting picked up by the editorial folks who then repeat it, who then the television folks pick it up. The next thing you know, we're running around here without factual data, without access to valid information, and we're coming to conclusions that the facts don't support. Look at the audit reports. It's not KPMG talking about going concern. That's the first indication in your audit report. We didn't have that. We don't have that. We have a temporary short cash short that we have to deal with in terms of our legacy costs.
Well, the city council says on no later than Tuesday they will have a plan. We'll have to wait to hear what that plan is. But, Tom Barrow, I appreciate your time as always, and thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
Tony, listen, I'm delighted to have been here. Hopefully I've shed some light. People should make their own decisions on this thing, but I just know how I see what I see.
I appreciate it, Tom. Truly, I do. There's a lot of clarity that comes with your voice. A quick break here, folks, and we will visit with Occupy Detroit. Zach Steve will be our guest. You'll want to stay where you're at. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift, and I'm giving a happy holidays to all the listeners out there. Thanks for the support.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me is Professor Gordon Lafer.
One of the problems with one of the versions of right to work that somebody is talking about introducing in Michigan, which would be aimed strictly at teachers and the school system. There has never been a right to work law like that because it makes no economic sense. You're not going to attract companies into out of state by attacking teachers. But what you will do is put Michigan at a competitive disadvantage in recruiting and retaining the highest quality teachers. If you say, well, we're going to cut down, you know, union bargaining power and wages and benefits for Michigan teachers, any teacher who has a choice who's deciding are they going to go to Michigan or a neighboring state is going to have an incentive to go elsewhere. So at a time when the state is trying to have a strong education system, I mean, both for all kinds of reasons, including being able to compete for these higher skilled jobs, to put in a law that says we're going to undermine the quality of teachers we can attract seems backwards economically.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote.
We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. It's been an amazing hour. Ryan Bates with the immigration reform. Tom Barrow, former mayoral candidate, talking about the city of Detroit, Mayor Bing. And now we turn our attention, as we do every day at 7:50, to Occupy Detroit. And joining us, as he did the other day, actually, is Zach Steve with the Occupy Detroit movement. And Zach, happy Friday to you, my friend. How are you today?
I'm doing great. It's great to be here, Tony.
Great. A lot of stuff went on this week for the Occupy movement, man. You stop, Zach, and you take a look back between extending the permit and all the other, the marches, the General Assemblies. It's been a busy week.
Yeah, it definitely has. You know, there's been some ups and downs. I think that we've been going through some growing pains. We've continued to advocate against, you know, cuts hurting the middle class with our march against austerity yesterday. You know, in the end, I think it's been a success. And, you know, it shows that we're continuing to grow and continuing to evolve the Occupy movement here in Detroit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So let's get to what you have on your agenda for us today, Zach Steve. What's going on?
Well, today we have two major things going on today. One of them being that we're working on setting up one of the new locations that we had offered up to us. It's a 6,000 square foot storefront in Southwest Detroit, and we need help getting it fixed up so we can start, you know, running different trainings and using it as kind of a headquarters, if you would. It's at 5900 Michigan Avenue, at the corner of Wesson. That's Wesson. And if people can bring down cleaning supplies, you know, dust masks and gloves, organizing supplies like shelves and buckets. We're going to have some entertainment there for the folks that can come down and help us clean up and get that space prepared so we can start using it. And then also, later on in the day, from 8 to 10 today at 1515 Broadway, Detroit, we have a fundraiser going on. And we're just asking people to donate $5 to $15. There's going to be music, comedy, a little modern dance and poetry, and it should be a great time. So we hope folks can come down, have a little, do a little work with us, cleaning up our space at 5900 Michigan, and then come down to 1515 Broadway, have a little fun, and just to end the week off right.
Now, that, you know, God, that's awesome. This is the first I'm hearing of the building, so this is just really good news, Zach.
Yeah, it is. I guess to fill you in a little bit, Tony, the building was offered up to us by the owner, who really has been supportive of Occupy and had the space, wasn't doing anything with it. So we're gonna, we're still in discussions exactly what this space is gonna mean to Occupy Detroit, but it's gonna be great for us as far as having some places where we can have meetings, where we can, you know, do some entertainment type things, where we can do some training type things. So it's really great for us as far as having somewhere where we can operate, inside with some warmth as we hit these winter months.
Yeah, absolutely. And what time today are you gonna? For the cleanup is gonna start when?
Well, people are gonna be down there all day working on cleanup.
All right, so people can just show up. Then people can just show up. So that works for you guys.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to go to the phones. I want to take a call here. Again, feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Stephen Monroe. Steve, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tony. I think these people from the Occupy movement, they've got to start clarifying a message and then actually start working towards putting candidates up and let the chips fall where they fall. If it keeps on going the way it's going nationally with, these confrontations with police and obstructing business, it's just going to get real ugly.
I'm really glad you brought that up, because Steve, thank you for calling. I'm really glad that you bring that up. Zach, one of the things that I find amazing about the Detroit Occupy movement is how fresh and exciting it is. And I'm not knocking any other Occupy movement. I support every other Occupy movement, but the Detroit Occupy movement has, I think, been the model Occupy for the country, because we continue to advance a message. We continue to grow the movement. We continue to make a difference. We continue to take stands. And we're working toward exactly what that caller just said, that message, those things that we'll endorse, candidates that we'll support. So we're actually moving in that direction on a daily basis, Zach.
It's undoubtable that we're working towards having a clear agenda, having a clear message. What's been going on over the past 2 months around the country and the world is that occupiers have grabbed the microphone away from the your media as usual, away from the establishment. We got the microphone. Now I believe we're in the stages more of really becoming a more trained, well-educated, and having the activists that are going to be able to go and facilitate the change and deliver the message that we want to get out there. So we're in step two. People are talking a little bit further down the line. I understand that, but this is going to be a big movement. It's going to be around for a long time, and it's going to take some time.
Yeah,
it's going to take time to get here. It's going to take time to get back.
You said that perfectly, Zach. It's going to be around a long time, and this doesn't have to be. I understand Steve's concern. I get concerned when I hear about violence in some of these other parts of the country and the conflict, but we, Zach, don't have that. And those relationships don't exist. And as long as we continue to show mutual respect, as long as we continue to be mindful and thoughtful and considerate, and we're doing things in the name of solidarity, how do we fail? I don't think we can fail.
As far as the safety things, and I think what I've seen is I've seen a lot of goodwill from the entire community, even the Detroit Police Department, obviously the Detroit City Council. And we have to be realistic with the fact that we're winning right now. It's a success where we're at today. It's not over. We have so much momentum, and we're going to just use that to move forward. Yeah,
absolutely. Man, this is probably one of the better segments we've done on Occupy. And so I want to thank the caller for helping propel that to where this conversation needed to go today. I want to remind everybody, Occupy Thanksgiving on Sunday at 4 o'clock at Grand Circus Park. Make your way out there. Always stuff going on. Occupy-Detroit.us is the website. We've always got it posted somewhere on the Facebook page. Zach, Steve, have a great weekend. We'll check in with you guys next week.
Thanks, Tony.
You bet. My pleasure. God, that was a great segment. Glad we did it. Quick break here for the top of the hour. Joe DeSano on the other side. You'll want to stay with us. It's always fun with Joe.
Thursday. 1310 WDTW. Continuous.
If you missed
watch.
Today's
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Cubiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDT.
There for those
Hi, I'm Jimmy
coming
Smith.
In U.S. 23 and toward 275, always heavier in the eastbound direction, coming in the morning, trying to get on to 275 or 696 or maybe M5, maybe Grand River. Looks like we're not seeing any kind of real slowdowns through any of that at the moment.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Smith. Colorectal cancer is highly preventable, yet it is the second leading cancer killer of men and women in the U.S., but it doesn't have to be. So please get screened for colorectal cancer. I did.
If you're 50 or older, get screened for colorectal cancer. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service is going to be windy today and sunny. Look for a high near 46. Tonight, though, the clouds roll in, a low near 35. Tomorrow, it's going to be partly sunny, and hopefully we'll hit 51 degrees. Right now, mostly cloudy, 25 degrees at the airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
And they were sexually abused by associate basketball coach Bernie Fine. Fine's now on administrative leave. CNN's Alina Cho reports one of the claims is not a surprise to university officials.
The first alleged victim, Bobby Davis, says he first alerted Syracuse University officials about 6 years ago, back in 2005. The university said it immediately launched its own nearly four-month investigation and that everyone else involved denied the story and that Syracuse police decided not to pursue the case because the statute of limitations had expired.
Syracuse head basketball coach Jim Boeheim says he has known Bernie Fine for more than 40 years and has never seen anything to suggest that he would do anything like this. Boeheim says Fine has his full support. More alleged sex abuse victims of former Penn State assistant coach Jerry Sandusky reportedly are coming forward. CNN's Susan Candiotti reports Sandusky's claim of innocence is making many people angry.
Many of these people are telling the lawyers that they were angry, and that's why they came forward after hearing Sandusky's denial, one that many people have called disturbing.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton will visit Myanmar, also known as Burma, next month. She says the U.S. wants to see if the military leadership there is really serious about protecting human rights.
We're hoping, most certainly for the people of Burma, that this is real. But, you know, if it is, the United States will support and encourage it.
Myanmar pro-democracy leader Aung San Suu Kyi will run in the next election. That word comes this morning from a spokesman for her National League for Democracy. Former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura is a big supporter of the Occupy Wall Street protesters. He says their message is that Wall Street owns our politicians.
I think these are the people that are rising up to say, wait a minute, we're the people of America, and you should be working for us, not for corporations.
The L.A. County Sheriff's Office is reopening its investigation into the death of movie star Natalie Wood. She drowned in 1981 while boating off the California coast. This is CNN Radio.
Good news for anyone with a roofing problem, because you could use a little. GAF Timberline shingles have a lifetime limited warranty and are backed by GAF's advanced protection technology for long-term performance and wind resistance, no matter where you live. They're North America's number one seller, and they're affordably priced at the Home Depot, just like everything else you'll need for an integrated watertight roofing system. GAF shingles, quality you can trust. See limited warranty for complete coverage and restrictions.
Numbers can be used to predict the weather.
Forecast calls for 80 degrees.
Numbers can be used to predict the market. But this weekend, numbers will be used to catch criminals.
You can tell us where the killer lives?
Yeah.
Numbers, the show USA Today calls a high-speed, high-tech mystery.
FBI!
Catch Numbers this weekend. Check your local listings.
3 months ago, Google announced its intent to buy Motorola Mobility in a $12.5 billion deal. Motorola shareholders finally have voted on the idea, and they love it. 99% approval for Google to take over the big mobile device maker. The Conference Board's Index of Leading Indicators will be released a half hour after Wall Street's opening bell today. Economists predict a sharp increase, as much as a full percent in the reading, which attempts to forecast economic direction 3 to 6 months ahead. A plan is brewing in Europe which could help put the Eurozone's troubled economies on firmer footing. At least that's the hope. Reports say there's momentum surrounding a proposal for the European Central Bank to lend money to the International Monetary Fund, which would in turn finance rescues of troubled European nations. Germany is blocking a proposal for direct bailout by the central bank itself. European stock index is down about 0.5% each. U.S. stock futures rising. S&P futures gaining 13. NASDAQ futures up 18. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Blurriness, wavy lines, blind spot, these are all symptoms of a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, also known as wet AMD. It can develop quickly and it's a leading cause of blindness in people 60 and older. Learn about your risk factors and find out how a retina specialist can help. Just visit amdawareness.org. And if you aren't seeing clearly, get checked now. Knowing the symptoms may save your sight. Learn more at amdawareness.org today. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
I've been riding since I was 17. Flat out my whole life. Had some medical issues. Then I was prescribed one drug one place, another somewhere else. United Healthcare saw I could be in real trouble if I'd have taken both drugs together. They spotted the danger and United Healthcare warned my pharmacist in time. We only get one shot, and I want to leave this life exhausted.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Good news for anyone with a roofing problem, because you could use a little. GAF Timberline shingles have a lifetime limited warranty and are backed by GAF's advanced protection technology for long-term performance and wind resistance, no matter where you live. They're North America's number one seller, and they're affordably priced at the Home Depot, just like everything else you'll need for an integrated watertight roofing system. GAF shingles, quality you can trust. See limited warranty for complete coverage and restrictions.
Numbers can be used to predict the weather.
Forecast calls for 83.
Numbers can be used to predict the market. But this weekend, numbers will be used to catch criminals.
You can tell us where the killer lives? Yeah.
Numbers, the show USA Today calls a high-speed, high-tech mystery.
FBI!
Catch Numbers this weekend. Check your local listings.
Welcome back to the show.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
It's Friday, and you know what that means. The end of a great week of shows is wrapped up with a chat with Joe DeSano. And yes, Jeff, it's almost time for breakfast meeting. Jeez, is food all you guys think about? Now, back to Tony.
Yeah, welcome back. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock, and we get ready to wrap things up on this Friday First Shift show, and it's been a fabulous show so far. Maybe our best this week, yet we've got the best yet to come. Joe DeSano is with us. We'll get to him in just a moment. Let me remind you, as I always do, if you'd like to join us, our toll-free number is 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. And last but not least, on Twitter, at Tony Trupiano. Before I get to Joe, though, I want to remind you folks, especially for those of you that would like a union in their workplace and you don't have one, as I've been telling you now for a couple weeks, we found a number. We got a number for you, a toll-free number for you to call if you want to get more information. I know the process can be very daunting, and I know it can be a challenge to get a union into a workplace, especially one where management's trying to get away with something. You know, we've been talking about this this situation with the Mastronardi Foods in Livonia and how horrible they're treating their employees and they're not following quality control. If that were a union shop, none of that would be happening. If you feel like you need a little protection, if you'd like maybe better wages, you want protection in the workplace, you just want to be treated with a little dignity, perhaps it's time to explore that opportunity. And what a better time than this time of year as we get ready to get into the new year. Just call this number, 1-800-321-6406. That's 1-800-321-6406. You could be as anonymous as you want to be. You don't have to give your name. You can give your name. It's not what this is about. It's about empowering you to the information you need to make an informed decision. So know that there is no such thing as a stupid question. If you don't know the answer, then it's an important question to ask. Again, call 1-800-321-6406, and I promise they're gonna treat you with the dignity you deserve as you explore your future opportunities for your workplace. All right, with that said, guys, give me my introduction and let's get going.
It's time to talk politics with our political strategist
from Main Street Strategies,
Joe DeSano.
And we do welcome back to First Shift, my good friend, Joe DeSano. Paizan, great to have you on the show this morning. We got him? There you go. Click that button. There we go. Joe DeSano
there
is with us now.
Go.
Hey, listen, without getting real personal here, you know, I understand that when you called in this morning, you were expressing yourself as you have a right to do. I just want you to know that the young man that answers that phone is my son.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you and I need to talk, Joe.
Yeah, well, you know, right? Hey, speaking of sons, and this ties into what you were saying before you brought me in. Last night, my wife went grocery shopping at Meijer's, and she came home, and my son asked me, how come Mommy doesn't shop at Walmart?
Ah.
And I said, well, because Walmart doesn't have a union. And so the inevitable question is, what's a union? And I said, well, it's when people get together and they make sure that they're paid well for their jobs and they have health care and have good, safe working conditions. And he asked my mom, are you a union member? Or his mom, are you a union member? And she goes, yes. And he looks at me and says, are you in a union? And I said, no, I'm the boss. And he says, well, I should join a union.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I wish I could, but oh well. Such is life. So, anyway,
no, that's a great story. No, that's a great story. I've met your son. He's a very bright young man. Very bright young man. So that's great. You know, Joe, a lot going on this morning. All joking aside, and before we get into the stuff that that we had pre-agreed to, the front page of the Detroit papers today are talking about a decision that was made amongst the Tea Party, the different factions of the Tea Party, to come together in their own form of solidarity to support a singular candidate for the United States Senate to run against Debbie Stabenow. Now, that as I read the article early this morning, one of the things that certainly came through was that this is not necessarily a unified message, but it looks like the direction they're headed in. Your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts are pretty simple. The Tea Party here in Michigan is split among several different groups. I see this as an attempt to coalesce under one banner, which I have doubts if they can do. I think more importantly, though, it shows the dissatisfaction that these folks have with Pete Hoekstra. I mean, they can list a whole litany of votes. You know, he raised the debt ceiling like 18 times as a congressman. He supported the Brady Bill. You know, many different policies that are anathema to Tea Party members. So they're hopping mad and they're looking to back one horse, to derail Pete Hoekstra's campaign. And actually, if you go online, and you look for Tim Kiska, he did an analysis of Clark Durant's money and where it came from, and he came to the conclusion that Clark Durant actually is a significant challenge to Pete Hoekstra. And also one thing that needs to be factored in here, and I don't know if it was mentioned in this article, because I always scanned the article before I came on. I didn't read it really in depth, but Pete Hoekstra is stiffing the Tea Party by skipping their candidate forums because he got beat up so bad at the first one. So he's trying to do a Rose Garden strategy of keeping the Tea Party stiff-armed and away from him so he doesn't have to answer those questions. And, you know, the Tea Party is noticeably miffed at this. They already don't like the guy based on his voting record. And now they're being shunned by Pete. And, you know, I think it's a questionable strategy. I think the way you win those people over is you engage them. You even have confrontations with them, so at least you can earn their respect. But hiding like a little baby, you know, that's not what a man or an adult does.
Well, it's interesting, and there's some conflicting information. As you know, he's been endorsed by Iowa Republican Stephen King, who is the real darling of the Tea Party, and Michelle Bachmann, who, together with Pete Hoekstra, founded the Tea Party caucus in Congress. But I don't know that we could ever at any time put that label on Pete Hoekstra, to be honest with you, Joe.
No, no. Pete is the ultimate establishment Republican. You know, the endorsement of people like Iowa Steve King, who, by the way, is far more terrifying and scary than anything dreamed up by the author Stephen King. you know, getting that endorsement from him and Bachman, that's nice, but that's based on personal relationship. That doesn't reflect his voting record. That doesn't reflect his almost 20 years in Congress. This is the kind of character that we're dealing with. He's very slippery. You know, when he got elected to Congress in 1992, he beat one of the most powerful Republicans in Congress at the time, Guy Vanderjagt, in a Republican primary. And part of his spiel was, 1992, remember, was a very ugly year for incumbents across the board. He said, I'm only going to serve three terms. And at the end of the three terms, I'm going to come back home to Western Michigan and apply my trade. Well, of course, you know, D.C. Pete heads there, and he likes getting wined and dined. He likes being treated with deference. He likes the lobbyist lifestyle or being courted by lobbyists, rather. And so his three-term pledge just kind of disappears. You know, he's a guy very much in the mold of the old riverboat gambler there who can, you know, charm you and disarm you. And the people in the Tea Party know this. They don't trust him. They don't like him. And they don't like his voting record for sure. So those endorsements from people like Stephen King and Bachman are window dressing because, I mean, the character of Pete Hoekstra has been well established during almost two decades in Michigan politics.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, it was a fascinating article. Didn't expect it. Didn't see this one coming. And of course, again, one of the pieces of this article that again jumped out at me, Joe, was that they're looking to make this decision in January. Obviously, the primary isn't even until August. And so what the Tea Party is basically trying to manipulate is the primary itself. This has really very little to do with the general. What they're trying to do is make every other candidate irrelevant. And I don't even know if that's a good strategy, period.
I don't know if it's a good strategy, and I don't know if it's likely that they can pull it off. Like I said at the top, the Tea Party is very disparate here in the state. There's no clear voice. Some of them want to become the establishment. Those folks are pretty self-evident who they are. And then there's others who are happy to just kind of sit up in the hills and, rule their little rural fiefdoms, and not interested in, general elections or interested in controlling turf wars in political parties. So I think this whole strategy is somewhat flawed, and I don't think they have any ability to back up their decision once they come to it. And of course, it's probably going to come down to someone like a Clark Durant, or possibly, and Democrats should pray to God daily that this happens, that they anoint Gary Glenn from the Michigan Family Forum as their Tea Party candidate, if he can pry himself away from the glory hole, that is. And so anyways, he is a radical, extreme far-righty, and the Tea Party would do very well by anointing him as their candidate.
All right, Joe, quick break here, and we will come back with the previously decided on program. Folks, you're going to want to stay tuned. We've got some great stuff coming up with Main Street Strategies' Joe DeSano. Feel free to join us if you'd like, 888-552-3595. This is First Shift. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be right back.
Happy holidays, Detroit. This is Attorney Richard Bernstein thanking all the listeners out there who make this city work every day to make this city stronger. The listeners of this show are the backbone, the people who fight, the people who make a difference, and are the people that I love the most.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update. Seeing a little bit of slowdown as you're coming down I-75. Trying to head toward 12 Mile, 696, 8 Mile. As you're coming in 96 East, it's getting busier for those trying to get toward Wixom, Novi, onto 275. Coming off of M5, we're seeing some slowdowns there. A northbound 275 near 96 and M14 trying to get up to the Reuther. You've got plenty of company.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We're going to see mostly sunny skies, although it's going to be kind of windy today. Look for a high near 46. Tonight, cloudy and 35. Tomorrow, sunny and 51. But look for rain on Sunday. Right now, it's mostly cloudy, 25 degrees at the airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Come into the Home Depot today for pre-Black Friday savings on a wide selection of appliances. You don't have to wait until the day after Thanksgiving for savings like $200 off your choice of a front-load or top-load washer from LG. They're just $499 each right now. So beat the crowds with pre-Black Friday savings on appliances today. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. Home Depot store for details.
And joining us now is Cheryl Witten, the president of the Michigan Advisory Board for Blessings in a Backpack.
Blessings in a Backpack is a national organization. This teacher was concerned because she had kids in her school who came back from the weekend tired and hungry and by no means ready to learn. These children are on the free and reduced lunch program during school week, but no one thought, what happens to these children when they go home on Friday? So came up with the very simple idea, let's pack a backpack with food to take home with them on Friday, and they would return their backpack on Monday to be refilled.
All right, so if I contact blessingsinabackpackmi.org, how do I get involved?
There is a page to make a donation, and then we as the Michigan Board will determine and where the greatest need is.
Blessingsinabackpackmi.org.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
22 minutes after the hour, Joe DeSano with Main Street Strategies is my guest. It has really been an interesting week in politics. And no more interesting than on the interesting, actually very interesting, mostly on the Republican side of the aisle. And I'm not talking about, you know, in the state capitol. They've been on break, frankly. But it's some of the stuff that's happening, you know, outside the Capitol building, Joe. And a really crazy story, you know, and I'm going to start with this Representative Kurt Damrow's story. You know, apparently the acoustics in a room matter a whole lot, especially if there's a reporter present, huh?
Yeah, when we spoke of Kurt Damrow a couple weeks ago, I believe, because he was the state representative that was booted out of his own local Republican Party.
Right.
Because of his shady activities, which included pressuring a judge in a custody lawsuit with his ex-wife. So this is a real interesting character. Anyway, the latest adventure of the Kurt Damrow Chronicles is he was on the west side of the state campaigning with a colleague, and he told a packed room of veterans that he was injured in Iraq, and he was a wounded veteran himself. And a reporter from a local paper was there, heard him say it, and did an article on it, and it turns out that, yes, he was an Air Force reservist, but he wasn't injured in Iraq. He was injured when he ran into a cow. And there's no word if the cow was a jihadi or a or Afghani. But seriously though, he was injured in a car accident with a cow here in the state of Michigan. And he had never set foot in Iraq. And he's blaming this on a bad acoustics in the room. But other people in the room say that he said he served in Iraq, and also the reporter says so. And thirdly, and probably most importantly, and the local newspaper is not backing down from this.
No, and in fact, that reporter, Joe, it's important to point out, is not only not backing away from it, but went out of his way to give his side of what happened.
Yeah, and oftentimes what you can find is in local politics, or local newspapers are often subject to pressure, sometimes much more than larger newspapers.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think in the case that this local paper, very small, the Daily Reporter, probably has about a circulation of about 3,000, did not back down, tells me all I really need to know about the situation, that Kurt Damrow is out there, you know, telling veterans, people who've actually served in combat, that he's a combat veteran himself and was injured. You know, you don't joke around about a Purple Heart. The people who earn a Purple Heart do so with blood, sweat, and literally tears. And that should be honored. And when people are out there lying about their service, especially elected officials who lie about their military service, that's shameful. And I'm really hoping that some veterans in his district hound him. And it looks like, you know, he's going to get a primary coming up in the next election. This is one of those guys who barely won in the wave election of 2010. So he's going to have a real tough time getting through a primary because he's just ruffled so many feathers in his local district. And now you've got stuff like this where in those rural districts, perhaps much more than anywhere else, you know, veterans are revered, rightly so. And I can't imagine that people in the Thumb area are going to respond very well to this. And I hope they hound him, and I hope they break his will, and I hope a Democrat beats him next November.
Yeah, people need to, you know, just in general, people need to pay attention to what they say, Joe, because people are listening, and I think that certainly this is a matter of respect for those that have served, and especially those that have served and been wounded in battle. You know, listen, I realize that there are people that actually do go to Iraq and get in car accidents. You know, I get that. But this was a guy that hit a cow in a car here in Michigan as a member of the National Guard. Huge difference between the two.
That's very true. And as I said, this is just shameful, this behavior. And for him to try to turn it around and blame the acoustics and blame the reporter is, I think, even more of an insight into Kurt Damrow's lack of character.
Yeah, an insight into his character and an insult on the very honorable profession of journalism as well. And I do give that reporter a lot of credit for standing up to this because Joe is right. I, at one time in my professional career, worked for a small-town local newspaper, and it is rabid, folks. It's nothing like working for a big-city paper. When you write something, especially if it's a little bit negative about somebody locally, trust me, you feel it. Let's move on just for the sake of time, Joe, and go back to the Tea Party for just a moment. We've got a little battle going on with Senator Rick Jones and somebody in one of the factions of the Tea Party, I believe can we call it the Mid Michigan area?
Yeah, she's from the Lansing area here in Mid Michigan, and her name's Joan Fabiano. She's one of the people who's a leader in the statewide Tea Party movement. She's pretty vocal herself, and just for a little bit of background, Senator Rick Jones is the author of the legislation that passed the Senate on bullying that protected bullying if it was religiously motivated. He is the author of that legislation, so this is a guy with a rather checkered past and questionable judgment. But this is about the state Senate. The genesis of this is about when the state Senate last week voted to create health care exchanges in advance of the switch over to the Affordable Health Care Act. And the Tea Party and their minions are against setting up the exchanges. They consider that supporting Obamacare. And Rick Jones voted yes to create the exchanges. And him and Joan Fabiano got into a online back and forth on Facebook. And Rick Jones was very insulting of Fabiano. You know, it implied that she was on antidepressant medication and said that something's wrong with your head. And Ms. Fabiano screen capped all this. And she did a press release and she filed a formal complaint with the state Senate. And it looks like, you know, Rick Jones is, has stuck his foot in his mouth again. I mean, this guy can't go a week without making a fool of himself. And now it looks like, there's going to be it's interesting because Senate Majority Leader Randy Richfield is going to have to make a decision here rather soon. Do I reprimand Rick Jones and cause problems and dissension within my caucus, or do I ignore the complaint and get the ire of the Tea Party? So that's going to be a decision he's going to have to make here in the next few days. I look forward to seeing it because there's nothing that brings a smile to my face more than Republican on Republican violence.
Well, we seem to get plenty of that lately. And we got more Republican on Republican coming up, so everybody's going to want to stay where they're at. Joe DeSanto, again, my guest, a partner in Main Street Strategies, a Lansing-based political consulting firm. Feel free to join us if you'd like. 888-552-3595. A quick break here. We'll be back on the other side.
Continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes we've had some slow going 96 eastbound, an earlier accident near the Reuther. Looks like the accident's cleared. Still seeing some delays, though. Same thing with the problem 275 north after M14. That accident is out of there. As you head west on I-94 near 12 Mile, an earlier problem has cleared, but we've been slow for traffic trying to come in toward Little Mac, and you're trying to get towards 696.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for some mostly sunny skies today. It's going to be high near 46. It's going to be a little windy, though. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 35. Tomorrow, partly sunny and a high near 51. It looks like on Sunday, we're going to have some rain. Mostly cloudy right now, 25 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Oh boy, it's tough in our economy. I know you worry about your own little world, bucko. Whether you're going to have a job, your shrinking paycheck, no health care, rising prices on everything, stuff like that. But hey, bucko, it's not all about you. Show a little concern for those who are taking a real hard hit in this lean year, like Wall Street bankers. Did you know that top executives at Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, Bank of America, and so forth are facing up to 30% cuts in their bonus money? Some of them are looking at a bleak Dickensian end-of-year holiday season with no more than maybe a $5 million bonus stuffed in their stockings. I'll pause here for a second so you can reach for a tissue to dry those tears. It is disappointing, said a Wall Street compensation analyst who surveyed the executive suites at the big banks and concluded that this will be the weakest bonus season since the crash of 08. Yeah, these high rollers still have their base salaries of $1 million each as a cushion, plus platinum pensions, full health coverage, the corporate jet, chauffeured limousine, and all that executive frou-frou. But the annual bonus money is what it's all about, the rich sauce that makes the enchilada worth eating. Besides, it's not just about the 8-digit checks they're used to getting. As a former Wall Streeter explains, compensation is how you measure yourself and your value. See? And you thought the street's elites had no ethical values. In fact, they can count theirs dollar by dollar. This is Jim Hightower saying, did I mention that these sad-faced bankers are lousy at their jobs? Their banks are losing money. They've dumped thousands of their employees. They've had to pay out billions for defrauding their customers. And their blatant greed has sparked the most massive protest movement America has seen in decades. So the question is, why are they getting any bonus pay at all? Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook, and also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
And welcome back, the 35 minutes after 8 o'clock. We still have a lot to get to, so don't punch out quite yet, folks. Joe DeSana with Main Street Strategies is my guest, as he is every Friday at this time. And Joe, as we take a look at what our members, Michigan members of Congress, are worth, I'm looking at this list, Joe. Is this what their personal worth is before we go further?
Yeah, this is what their personal worth is. It doesn't include their primary residence and personal property. This is the disclosures that every member of Congress has to submit every year. And what we've got here are two Michigan members of Congress are in the top 1% of lawmakers across the country. Those two members are Fred Upton and Dave Camp from Midland.
They happen to be Republicans, by the way.
They happen to be Republicans, but more importantly, I think it's so very telling that they're Republican appointees to the debt commission that's currently negotiating a deficit reduction deal. And you know, you gotta look at any Republican suspect, to policies that don't really help working folks. But especially you have to look at them with some suspicion when these guys are worth $16 million and $8 million apiece. I can't really think they're going to have a electrician or a plumber's well-being at the forefront of their mind when, you know, you're worth $17 million. I mean, give me a break.
No, and I think it was you, in fact, that pointed out, I don't know, maybe 5-6 weeks ago, that these two members on the super committee, which it is commonly known, also have received a great deal of financial attention with regard to contributions to their campaign funds.
Dave Camp has raked in, I think, close to $750,000 in lobbyist cash since he was appointed to the commission. I mean, you know, the special interests in Washington, D.C. understand that, you know, the less money government spends, the more, the less billable hours they're going to get. So they want to make sure that nothing changes. And so what they're trying to do is protect their turf and their little fiefdoms, and so they give Dave Camp the money and work Dave Camp up over and take him out for drinks and big, thick lobbyist steaks. And, you know, hopefully Dave Camp continues with the status quo and you get what you pay for, I think. And so right now, you know, Upton and Camp are two very important people who are also very, very wealthy. And, you know, we're going to see this debt commission come down here in the next few days with their decision or their proposal that the Congress has to vote up or down on. And I just, you know, I think it's very clear that both Camp and Upton, based on their personal wealth, are not exactly in touch with people who are struggling from paycheck to paycheck and struggling to make a living.
Well, the list was very interesting, illuminating, in fact. And not that the Democrats haven't done well. We've got there's some Democrats on this list, including John Dingell and Gary Peters, and the both 11 brothers that find themselves having done quite well. Of course, we haven't had time to get to the story today. There was a big 60 Minutes piece that we talked about earlier this week, last Sunday, Joe, that that showed a correlation between members of Congress and insider training secrets that they seem to be able to use without without regard to law. They are protected by law to use these insider trading tips, and many of them have become quite wealthy. We'll save that for some other time. But this list that came out, by the way, just this week showed that Congress had 250 millionaires, eight of them, almost half the million, Michigan delegation, are from Michigan. And I just found it very, very interesting. I also found it interesting on the very bottom, a couple on the very bottom of that list, including Debbie Stabenow and John Conyers.
Yeah, Debbie Stabenow's net worth is a negative $32,000. And Conyers' net worth is a negative $120,000. So, you know, clearly some members of Congress aren't using it to get rich.
Yeah, then I think we need to point that out. I truly do. All right, let's move on. There are some candidates that are doing quite well, and I want to talk more specifically about Pete Hoekstra. He's got himself one hell of a handsome job there, Joe DeSano, for 8 months.
Yeah, he was employed by a lobbying firm in Washington, D.C. They paid him $240,000 from February to October, and pretty good work if you can get it. And so basically he has to disclose where his income comes from now that he is a federal candidate. And so he's out there making money, which is a good thing. You know, I just think you need to be very upfront as to where it's coming from. And to give Pete credit, he's taken $240,000 from a lobbying company and somehow claims that he's not a lobbyist, which is really fascinating. I think you also have to look at, you know, who the lobbying firm represents. So, you know, Pete Hoekstra is clearly out there shaking the money tree. It's very interesting. I think that many of his clients for the firm were McAfee, which is the computer company,
mm-hmm.
You know, a company called Baron Lauren Theisman Boromenza. He's also just, you know, raking in the cash here as a lobbyist and also from lobbyists in his campaign. So, you know, there could be potential conflicts of interest here. And, you know, he's a shifty character, so you never really know what he's up to.
Well, it is all very interesting. And we'll close with, and I just love this piece. The Republicans in Oakland County, of course, the county commission there had to do, they had to do redistricting just like every other level of government, Joe. And the Republicans, gee, just didn't like what the Democrats did.
Yeah, they didn't like what they did. So former Senate Majority Leader Mike Bishop filed a lawsuit against the map generated by the bipartisan committee and took it to court. And it was rejected this week by the Court of Appeals, saying that the Court of Appeals said that the map was met all the standards. But the real lesson here is Republicans don't like it when they get gerrymandered. They don't like it when Democrats write the maps, but, you know, the procedure and the process is all well and good when it's sticking it to Democrats. But when the tables are turned and the knife's in the Democratic hands, that's when the lawsuits from the Republican side start flying. It's amazing the rank hypocrisy that you see from people like Mike Bishop and other Republicans in Oakland County who supported this. They wasted taxpayer dollars because the county, Oakland County has to defend the map in court because it was an official act of the county that they're challenging. So the county has to foot the legal bill for this. So much for reducing government spending, I guess. So basically, you've got a situation where Republicans don't like it when Democrats write the maps, and so I think we're looking forward to a hopefully a Democratic majority on the county commission and in the next election, and also sticking it real hard to L. Brooks Patterson.
Well, yeah, again, to me, this is a great story. I'm not a big fan of Mike Bishop for a variety of reasons.
The Oompa Loompa,
yeah, for a variety of reasons. So it was kind of...
So orange, he looks like an Oompa Loompa.
He's something else, man.
He spends so much time in the bronzer.
Joe, he's something else, and so I'm just glad to see... I'm just glad to see that it, you know, he got it pushed in his face a little bit this week. And, you know, listen, what's fair is fair. And if the courts have looked at it objectively, and I'm going to assume that there was objectivity involved there, and said everything is good to go.
The Court of Appeals is overwhelmingly Republican.
Well, even better.
I mean, there was no partisan, the thumb was not, if there was any thumbs on the scale, it was to the Republicans' benefit. And this still was rejected.
Really good stuff. I am going to ask you before we let you go. We got a couple minutes left before we have to get out of here today. But I'm sure you saw with great interest the story this week that the Republicans in Genesee County in the 51st District are very unhappy with Paul Scott. Apparently, he decided to take $44,600 that was given for his recall campaign to pay off some campaign debt, as opposed to use that money for the recall effort. They basically threw him under the bus this week.
Well, in Paul Scott's defense, he did nothing illegal. I think ethically he has some problems because when you are under recall, you are allowed to raise money to defend yourself in any amount. So, for example, you know, Bob's Widget Company could write you a check for $1 million if they so chose. Okay, so he was allowed to raise money at a higher threshold than he would as a candidate. So he was taking money from everyone. And he was taking money from everyone under the pretense that this would go to defend him in the recall. But what it did was he diverted the money from the recall into his back pocket. What's really interesting is he took the check from his account for $44,000 on the same day that a poll came out that said he was going to lose the recall. So essentially, he was making sure that he took that money and was going to get paid back before he got shown the door by the voters, which, as we know, happened last week. And the great thing about it is now Republicans are feeding on him. They're saying that, you know, if the Republicans elected to replace him in the special election, and Paul Scott runs against that Republican in the 2012 election.
Yep.
The House Republicans are going to support the incumbent Republican over Paul Scott.
Absolutely. Joe, we got to get out of here for today. Of course, next Friday we'll be off for the holidays, so enjoy your Thanksgiving, and we'll look forward to visiting with you 2 weeks from today.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, Joe DeSano with Main Street Strategies. We'll take a quick break here. We are open lines till the top of the hour. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. We'll be back.
This is Mark Brewer, Chair of the Michigan Democratic Party, bringing holiday greetings to everybody, and I hope that everybody in the spirit of the season will reach out to their neighbors, to the homeless, those who lack food, those who lack the basics of life, and lend a helping hand in the spirit of the season.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. thank you.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Good news for anyone with a roofing problem, because you could use a little. GAF Timberline shingles have a lifetime limited warranty and are backed by GAF's advanced protection technology for long-term performance and wind resistance, no matter where you live. They're North America's number one seller, and they're affordably priced at the Home Depot. Just like everything else you'll need for an integrated watertight roofing system. GAF shingles. Quality you can trust. See limited warranty for complete coverage and restrictions.
Recently on First Shift,
Tom Shadyac, the writer and director of an amazing documentary titled I Am.
A key part of my journey was making this movie. Now, I had already started shifting. I had begun to wake up the principles that shocked me. I had no idea the way things work, the way we work, the way reality works. And understanding that I was using far too many resources and that I was potentially a part of the problem and not a part of the solution, not as much a part of the solution as I certainly wanted to be.
First Shift with Tony Trivia on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Absolutely. We don't punch out early. Right, Anthony? We don't punch out early. We caught him yesterday. Actually, maybe he was just using his time efficiently. That's one way we can take a look at that. Want to remind everybody that I'll get to announcements in a little bit, but I will be tonight at the Transgender Day of Remembrance and in Detroit at the at the Central United Methodist Church. Doors open at 7:30. The ceremony will begin at 8. It should be a very special evening. But I'll get to more of that in just a moment. As we get ready to wrap things up on this Friday program, we're going to have an amazing week next week. I can already tell that we got a lot going on besides our regular guests. And it is going to be a short week for us, although we're putting some dynamic stuff together for Thursday and Friday show, so that we can keep you company both those days. They will be some of the best stuff we've done to this point in the program. So we'll look forward to, to bringing that to you. Most days, Jeff sends me links of stuff that he finds interesting. Some of it makes it to air. Some of it just makes it to my brain. All of it gets looked at. But he sends me a thing yesterday. The title of it is Herman Cade Would Loosen Federal Marijuana Restrictions. Jeff, explanation of why he sent that to me. Do you remember what your explanation was, Jeff?
He wants to sell more pizza.
He wants to sell more pizza. So that's what I read. Maybe Herman Cain wants to sell more pizza. So I click on it, and it's about Herman Cain saying, hey, that's a states' right issue. I could care less. And that's basically what he was saying. Somebody sent me an email last night, Jeff, God bless Maryland. But somebody sent me an email last night that said the reason that Herman Cain flubbed that Libya interview is because he had a wire in his ear, all right, so that there was somebody actually talking to him, and there must have been something wrong with the wire, or there was too much talking going on, and he couldn't keep his thoughts and what they were saying in his ear straight at the same time. And, of course, they've been okay, then, hello, you know, a little paranoid there. But at the same time, you know, it's that actually happens on the show when we're going to breaks or whatever. You know, you guys can also talk to me. And I'm the only one that hears you. So you guys can talk to me anytime you want, and the audience doesn't hear you, but I do. So and all of a sudden, it made me kind of pause and go, were they, you know, whispering in his ear? Were they trying to, you know, feed him information? Okay, stop it, Tony. Now you're getting paranoid. But it did make me stop and pause. I will say that.
Do you think, I mean, for a spot on TV with national networks, I can see something, you know, like that. But this was... this was like a, I don't know, it didn't seem like a big enough gathering where he's like, okay, to sit with this Milwaukee Journal, I'd have to have somebody in my ear to help me out. Yeah, it didn't seem like, I mean, where would they be sitting? In the same room so you can hear them talking? Or?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple different ways you can do it. You can do it where, you know, he's wearing a receiver as well as a speaker. So that, no, they're not necessarily in the same room, but they can hear what's going on. Certainly that's possible because, you know, in this Milwaukee Sentinel Journal editorial board, they're going to ask a plethora of questions on lots of different issues. And so, yeah, it might make some sense at some level that, you know, he doesn't want to get tripped up. So you've got somebody, you know, or some bodies.
Wouldn't they know that, though? Wouldn't the writers who are asking the questions?
No, not necessarily. Not with today's technology. Absolutely not.
See, I think those, then he's got some high tech. Because the ones, what are they called? The ones that that most broadcasters have. You can actually see the wire come sneak out.
Yeah, they have wireless stuff, though. I mean, there is wireless stuff that'll fit in your ear that's really, really small. And again, you angle yourself a certain way. Nobody, you know, most people aren't looking in your ear anyway. But, you know, if it's small enough, they're not going to see it anyway. There's technology out there that would allow you to do that. So if that's your question, absolutely the technology is out there to help you to do that. And you could have a boardroom full of people feeding you answers. It would be a very dangerous thing to do, especially if you're not used to it. Anybody that does television, anybody that, you know, is like a TV anchor, you know, they have somebody talking in their ear nonstop, Jeff.
They're very good at it, though.
Yes.
I mean, you can get, you're good at it. We can be talking, me and Anthony can be talking to you, and you'll still be in the middle of a sentence and go with that thought and hear us at the same time. When you get used to it, you can get good at it.
Right, but I've been doing this 18 years, and I assure you, if you guys were actually having a conversation with me, I'm sure I'd be flubbing up all over the place. All I'm saying is, it takes a lot of practice to know how to do that, and he wouldn't be practiced at that, not with the career that he's had. So, again, it just made me pause long enough to go, well, maybe there is something to that. Maybe they did have a wire. You know, he did have a little bug in his ear, and he was wired. Who knows?
Wouldn't somebody have come out and said that? Or do you think they'd be more embarrassed?
No, it'd be more embarrassing to admit that he did that, because that would mean that these weren't his own answers, and that he wasn't developing this on his own. Because all he said was, hey, all I was doing was pausing to catch my breath. You know, just pausing. It was just a pause. Well, it was obviously much more than a pause. All right, let's, before we get to announcements, we'll start with Big Bad Anthony J. What do you got going on this weekend, my little boogala?
I got nothing planned. I'm finally healthy again, so I don't know.
Make sure you take your antibiotics.
Will do.
Yeah, until they're all gone.
He actually said to me earlier he's going to go help the city of Detroit in any way he can. He's going to go down there and frequent the establishment and, you know, help the finances.
I don't need him to do that. As his father, not as his employer, as his father. Anyway, you going to watch the game with me on Sunday?
Of course.
All right. That's the way. That's what I wanted to hear. Mr. Radford, I know you have to work on Sunday for a few hours outside of that. Any plans?
You have a Lions game, of course. I got to watch the Lions beat up on the Panthers. And then, of course, on Saturday, college football. Maybe go hang out with some friends and watch Michigan and Nebraska.
All right. But that's so pretty easy weekend.
Let's hope so.
I'm assuming that for the Thanksgiving holiday, you'll be with your mom and dad?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. And you don't have to work that day, do you?
Well, let's hope not. We'll see.
Okay. I would think the schedule would be out by now.
I still got to get the shows together for this show, Thursday and Friday.
I know, but yeah, you've got to.
I won't do it on Thursday, you're right.
Yeah, no. No, of course not. Absolutely not. All right. Well, let me get to a couple announcements before we get out of here today. And again, I want to remind you that this evening at 7 o'clock, doors open at 6:30, the Transgender Day of Remembrance. It should be a very interesting evening at the Central United Methodist Church at 23 East Adams Street in Detroit. I've mentioned it a lot, but it should be a pretty special evening. So those of you that have time, please make an effort to come down to the city of Detroit. Don't forget, there's a lot of Occupy stuff going on. Just go to their website, occupy-detroit.us. And again, the legal symposium that'll be on December 1st, 2011. It is sponsored by the impact of the Detroit manager law. as sponsored by the ACLU, the National Conference of Black Lawyers, and the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees at the Sacred Heart Church Activities Building. And that's at on 3452 Rivard at 75 in Mack in Detroit. All right, that'll clean it up for us today. Anthony and Jeff, thank you so much for everything you do. To the audience, you are amazing. Again, if you need me off air, Tony at thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Tony, our total traffic update, getting back to normal, 94 westbound traffic coming in toward 12 Mile as you try to get to 696. Part of that from an earlier accident that has cleared, but that was slowing down traffic for those trying to get onto the Reuther. As you go west, it is getting busier on 696 toward I-75 and, of course, 75 south as you're trying to come in toward 12 Mile, trying to get to 696. You got plenty of company through there.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for some mostly sunny skies today. It's going to be high near 46. It's going to be a little windy, though. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 35. Tomorrow, partly sunny and a high near 51. It looks like on Sunday, we're going to have some rain. Mostly cloudy right now, 25 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310 WDTW.